What's up, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Flagrant 2 Podcast. No easy buckets, analysis by assholes, water cooler commentary for your sports needs. I am Andrew Schultz. I'm here with Akash Singh.
What up?
Kaz is at WrestleMania. I think he's still at WrestleMania. He was at WrestleMania.
Where are you going to meet more white girls in WrestleMania?
Yo, New Orleans.
It's a different kind of white girl,
That's
though.
That Cajun shit.
He's really running the spectrum of Cajun white girls, then just like wrestling fan white girls. That's like, yo.
Soon it's NASCAR.
Yeah,
okay?
Right?
You're very close.
It's a thin line.
Very thin. It's a very thin line.
You're not doing Seattle white girls anymore. This is like Alabama white girls.
Oh, he's getting more country with it. Is that more or less acceptable? I have to ask a non-white.
They're definitely more closed-minded.
They're more closed.
Of course. WrestleMania fan can be more closed-minded than some Seattle bitch.
Why?
I mean, they're just fake liberal up there. You know what
I mean? I see.
White girls in Seattle, I assume, will have sex with Kaz just to tell people they're not racist.
Right, to prove it.
Yeah.
Unleash the march. You see that? I just had to open
reveal.
Up. It was too cold in here when I just got in the room. I might put this shit back on.
That's what's up.
It's chilly up there. So yeah, Kaz out there right now, Akash, myself, Alex, holding it down, NYC. If you're listening right now, if you're watching right now, I got shows at Gotham Comedy Club this weekend. Okay.
You?
It's going to be 5 shows. I got my boy Cypher Sounds hosting all of them. You know Cypher Sounds if you're a New Yorker or in the tri-state area. Used to be on that hot 9-7. Now he's got a show on True TV. And my man was generous enough to come host these motherfuckers for me.
There's whispers he may DJ.
The whispers, there might be something going on with that. Little whispers, yeah. We'll see. Something special. So make sure you pull up to one of those shows, Friday and Saturday at Gotham Comedy Club. There's whispers that Akash Singh might be at one.
There's whispers. I'm coming to support regardless.
Yeah. But there's whispers Akash Singh might be. You know Alex Media is going to be there. He's going to be getting the whole filming thing going on. And I don't know if I should tell you all this or not, but I'm recording an album there. So if you guys are there, you are potentially in my album. Your laughs will be in the album. You could listen to that shit and be like, yo, that was me that did that.
Laugh loudly and obnoxiously.
There we go. But hopefully you're not just screaming dick talk in the middle of jokes because that would fuck up my album recording. But it's going to be recorded right there. Views from the Sis, the album. So I'm excited about that.
I'm going to just wait for the quietest moment and be like,
Don't even put that out there. I almost want to delete that because it's just, that's what people don't realize, like the fucking how annoying
nobody
that shit is.
Understands how fragile a joke is.
Oh my God.
If you lose focus for 2 seconds in a joke, you might miss the whole fucking thing. If I say knock knock, you say who's there, and then you zone out when I say who's there, punchline makes no fucking sense.
And also, like with me, anybody who's seen me live will understand, like I use a lot of silence. I use pausing. You know, I use that to like build up tension. And people who have like lower comedy IQs, I mean, they don't go to comedy shows a lot. They sometimes will yell things in that silence and then it completely breaks the tension. Then I can't break it with the punchline.
And it's also weird how uncomfortable the audience can be at a comedy show. Like the tension can make, especially if they like you, it'll make them uncomfortable and they think they're helping by screaming shit.
Right.
And you're not.
Or like what will happen is like they'll just be excited. That's what I've noticed. It's like they just want to connect. They want to be part of it. It's usually a girl. She don't fucking know any better, and she just yells some shit, and she just doesn't understand what's happening in the dynamic of the joke. Anyway, I'm not going to get in too much into it, but come, pull through, come to a comedy club. I'm also going to be, I just got some plugs in the beginning, and then we're going to get to this heat, okay? But I'm also going to be bringing Views from the Sis to Europe, man. I'm very excited to announce
this. How fucking dope is that?
I know, I'm excited. My agents yelled at me last night because I just put it out on Instagram before the checks were signed and all that kind of the contract was signed. But to be honest, that's been my strategy to motivate my agents from the beginning. Like I announced I was doing a world tour before we booked one date. My agents were like, what the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, yo, we got a world tour. Let's go book some dates. I mean, like, that's your job. It's my job to think of the ideas. You guys to book the venues. So I announced it. You know, we started obviously in LA and I've been going all over the country. And finally, shout out to my boys over at Edgar's, TJ Markwalter, and Adam Radler, man, for coming through. And what we're going to do with London, I'm going to do Antwerp, I'm going to do Amsterdam, I'm going to do Oslo. I'm going to do Copenhagen. I'm going to do Denmark.
Fuck.
Sorry, Copenhagen and Stockholm. Copenhagen's in Denmark.
That's back to back to back to back? You're not coming home in between, are you?
No. So I'm going to be doing it. Oh, guys, I can't tell. I'm not announcing the venues just yet. The tickets are not on sale just yet either. I will be announcing that in the future, but it's going to be in September. Okay. It's right after Burning Man. So, you know, I'm going to be Liddy. And I mean, I would love if Alex would come with me and he could document that whole shit. That would be fucking amazing. But we'll see. We're probably going to get him fired from the day job. But I'm gonna be doing that. So I will announce soon when tickets are going to go on sale. So that will be coming up soon. I'll probably announce it on my Instagram. So in the next couple of weeks, we'll have all that information. Gobble up those tickets, man. Obviously, you know, it's hard for me to come out there. So it's just going to be like a once in tour thing. And for me, when I do a tour, I retire the material afterwards. So I want you guys to come and check this out. And then finally, and this is the last thing, Akash, and thank you for being so generous listening to all this, but I'm releasing 551.
Oh, shit.
So 441, a comedy experience. You guys all saw on YouTube. It was up to 250,000 views. That was my second goal with it. First goal was 100,000. Then it was 250,000. Next goal is going to be 500, but 250,000 views on a comedy special is like, it's crazy. You know, like Comedy Central gets 100,000 when they put it on TV.
I don't even think 250,000 people know a single Comedy Central show.
Yo, facts.
I'll fire shots at Comedy Central.
Anymore.
I don't give a fuck. Bunch of fucking dorks. Fucking dorks. God, y'all are dorks. Put on one show that's not fucking dorks, for God's sakes. Fucking
Why won't
dorks.
Anybody watch our TV shows? Because it's dork shit. Oh, so I'm releasing 551. So initially when I did 441, I did it as an hour, right? And a lot of people know this story, but I filmed the hour special, and I filmed my hour special at five different comedy clubs. I did a different set in each club in New York City. I filmed the cab rides in between, and it was a night in New York. I was showing off that experience. And I tried to sell it to every single network in the business. None of them would buy it. And I said, fuck it, I'm putting it out myself. And it forced me to do 52 weeks of stand-up, which has been putting it out, and that's been getting people out. It's been amazing. So I got approached by this record company, 800-Pound Gorilla, and they were just like, yo, we want to put this out. What do you have for us to put out? And I was like, because they want to do a new album. Right. They're going to be recording this one. I was like, yo, I have something, though. And I think the people should hear it how it was originally supposed to be done.
Right.
So I was like, let's put out 551, and we're going to do it together. We're going to put it out. It's going to be available for a pre-order, 5/5, May 5th at 1 p.m., and then the full album is going to be coming out on the 8th of June.
So this is the same concept applied to the new material?
It's the
original special.
It's the original special in its entirety.
No, that special should have come out.
It should have come out. So it's going to come out in entirety in its audio. And I have to realize, like, I'm an audiophile guy. I do podcasts. Motherfuckers listen to me on all these things. But what I want to do is I want to fucking rock it. I'm going to release it for cheap. I'm going to release it for $5.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm releasing it for $5. I want nobody have an excuse not to buy it.
Right.
Buy my shit. I know people don't even buy shit no more. Just buy my shit. Support me. I want to have a number one comedy album. I want to have that as part of something I've done in history.
Of course.
To have a number one fucking comedy album would be massive, and it'd be another just fuck you to the industry, which is like, oh, you passed? Well, look what we got. Right, we got an army over here.
Yeah.
And look what this fucking army supports.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be coming out. So again, 551 is going to be available 5/5 at 1 p.m., May 5th at 1 p.m. for pre-order. And then the full album will be available the 8th of June and for the full one. And with the pre-order, you get two tracks. So, you know, it'd be cool. You get a little something. Anyway, that's what I had to promote from the beginning.
No,
thank you
so much. Cooking out.
Man, I'm cooking, man. And we sold out Toronto. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's it. It's all self-deprecation from now on. I'm shitting on myself the whole rest of the day.
Nah, fuck that.
I'm just saying.
Cooking up.
Listen, I've been working hard, man. Toronto's been so fucking supportive. Holy shit, man. We released all the comp tickets. I released everything. Listen, I had like 10 more comp tickets I was just going to save in case I had some boys to come to the thing. And I just called the venue today. I said, just fucking release them, man. People are asking me for more tickets. So there might be like 10 left or something like that.
That's so dope,
Go
man.
Get them. Toronto, thank you
Let
so much.
Let me tell you something, man. This family and my family, friends that are family, we have a big extended family. Every Thanksgiving we get together. And then it started as a joke that my brother was like, you know what we should do? We should go around the table and all say what we're thankful for.
Yeah.
But then it became like a real thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And
are you describing what people do for Thanksgiving?
Yeah. No, is that every white person does it? You understand? Well, no, my brother. My brother was saying it like we should be like white people and do this thing.
Oh, okay.
As a joke,
I thought that you invented Thanksgiving.
No.
Yo, here's an idea, right?
Check it.
We just get lots of food, right? And then on that Thursday of Thanksgiving, we talk about what we're thankful for.
Maybe we'll see if they put on a football game.
That shit would be hot. Watch the football together. That shit would be hot. Yo, what kind of pie should we have? Pumpkin. It's in season.
We actually started doing it, and everybody goes around. It's a real, like, thing. Everybody gets, like, real emotional. I have pretended to be happy for people for so much less than what you just said. That's what I was getting to. But I'm actually, let's bring a discussion here that we had a week ago off podcast.
Okay.
You're still kind of a fucking idiot. In a way that I'm kind of a fucking idiot, but you more so than me.
Okay.
And that you had people who would have helped you put this special on an industry platform that you just didn't reach out to. You were just like, nah.
That's not entirely true.
It's not entirely true, but it's, you could have checked. You can ask for some help sometimes. You're real quick to be like, and I do this too.
Yeah.
But you're real quick to be like, fuck the industry, I don't need you. You're not asking me for it. But you don't necessarily, there's a game you could play that some people are really fucking good at playing.
I think that's unfair to put on me. I know what you're trying to say.
I'm saying it for both of us.
Yeah, but like I think I exhausted more outlets than you think.
Probably.
Like I shared it with everybody.
But
I know
general,
the people that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I shared it with them. And my understanding is if there's an interest and there's like a desire to push there, you do that. And then you don't wear down certain relationships. So
I know what you're
trying to say.
In general.
But what I'm not like using this as like a marketing tool, fuck the industry. I went to literally everyone and everybody said no.
No, I know. I know that.
You know what
but
I, mean? Like,
I just,
real.
In general, I think there's things, most dudes, like this is something I'm actively working on. As a man, you're like, nah, man, don't ask for help. Which is, you don't want to ask for help all the time, like some weak ass, like, you know what I mean? Like a bitch.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to ask for help. And that's something I'm like literally trying to work on now is being like, hey, can you do me this favor?
Yeah. Getting over your ego about
it. It's all ego.
Yeah, no, I agree. And there are some certain things, like, I've been able to do that, like, you know, reach out to friends and ask them if I could come on their podcast to promote.
That's amazing.
You know, that kind of shit. And I might have had, like, an ego to do that before.
Yeah.
And I might have been, it was probably just nervous that they would say no and I'd be rejected.
Yeah, of course.
Like, that's where it came down. And if I got rejected, then what, my insecurity of what they thought about me would be confirmed.
Yeah, and like, also for me, it's like there's this beta-ness to saying, hey, I need your help, which is not only kind of like I'm a little more weak than I want to admit or not as powerful or whatever, can't you kind of are above me in that moment. And my ego's like, nah, though, fuck that,
I don't
want
to give that up to somebody, It's so weird, though, like exposing yourself to people and not in that type of way, but like exposing your vulnerability in a weird way allows them to like cling on to you.
Oh, feeling wanted and needed. Every person needs that.
Yeah. But especially like, the more vulnerable I am or more honest I am about like how maybe shitty I'm feeling about myself or whatever like that, the more comfortable you are to expose how shitty you feel.
Yes.
I used to always think I got to be perfect and I got to have all these things going on. And then people will like me because of that. Right. But what that does is create a dynamic with someone else where they don't feel comfortable being open.
Yeah.
Especially with like girls and shit. Like,
oh,
I found like the more open I was able to get with girls, the more open they were, right?
Yeah,
and then
100%.
Once they were open, I felt comfortable being vulnerable. I felt comfortable saying I was fucking insecure.
Because
you know
we all
mean?
Feel shitty sometimes.
Exactly. I mean, my dick gets hard every time.
What's that like?
No question. Try some new pussy, you gonna find out.
Nah, fuck that. I stay ready. My shit is trash, but it's ready.
Oh, really? You hard every time?
All the time.
Damn, bro. That's because you got full beard. All that testosterone in your face and dick. My shit on my ass cheeks.
Nah, man. My shit is trash, though. Don't worry about it.
Bro, I got my...
not pleasing this.
I got my butt ate again, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Son, I was misled. And I feel like I have to open up to the family, to the army.
No,
okay.
No finger, please.
No. I might have taken it.
I don't understand this weird weird. Get your ass eaten, but a finger is gay.
So, can we have limits? Can we have limits?
The tongue is a much more intimate thing than a finger.
I know that. Like, everything you're saying is right. You know what I mean? Like, you a thousand. Up, like, you know what I mean? It's like if someone just, like, put a finger in your butt, mad, aggressive, angry, that's not even gay, right? Like, the doctor be doing that shit, right? But if the doctor's like, let me check your prostate, yeah, and he started making out with your butthole to check it, you'd be like, hey, oh, doc, this is a little gay, my man. This is a little wild. Why don't you ask the nurse? So what happened was, Shorty came through, a different Shorty came
obviously
through.
Obviously, the last one had PTSD from you asking to eat her, but the last one
had a different acronym.
Okay.
HPV. No, I'm just joking. Is that an acronym?
Yeah,
I don't know.
All right, for sure.
Sick. Where's Kaz when you need him? So, Shorty came through. She was all ready for the butt munch. She even threw it out. She threw it. She's like, are you into butt stuff? And I was
mad soft. Yeah, I bet she listens to the podcast. Yep.
She listens to the podcast, man. Yo, I threw it out mad soft. She's like, are you into butt stuff? I was like, for you or me.
Both.
She said both. I was like, oh, interesting. She was like, how do you feel about fingers? I was like, for you or me. She was like, both. I was like, hmm. Anyway.
What if she was just like, gay? And then walked out.
Hilarious. No, this is over text. But if she did that shit over text, I would have cried. Oh, so man. Don't get no ideas, lady assholes. So basically, came through. She went for the butt lick, right?
Right.
It didn't feel the same.
You chasing the dragon now.
God, that's
hilarious. You chasing the dragon, man.
Listen, son. And we all know there's only one mother of dragons. Son, first time was Khaleesi.
Oh, I'm crying.
Son, the first time was Khaleesi, one was not. This was not Khaleesi. This was that bitch who...
This wasn't even the black bitch on the side of Khaleesi.
No, wasn't even a helper,
this
Khaleesi.
This was the dwarf.
I got Tyrion licking my asshole, son. Not even Jon Snow who could pet the dragon. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It was whack. It wasn't whack. It wasn't whack, but it didn't give me that same hype sensation I came here with. Like, I came energetic last time. Did I not, Alex? Did I not?
Yeah, because she transitioned from amazing head to that.
Now, this girl is really good head, but there was something about the tongue, if I may tell you guys exactly what it was. It was a tad bit dry for my face. I don't know how a tongue could be dry, but it was similar to a cat's. You ever have a cat lick your hand? No. It's like, ooh, how's your tongue dry, but it's surrounded by all that saliva. But yeah, this one was a little dry. That shit, it licked and it pulled my butthole with it like a shark skin when you rub it the wrong way. I know that because I'm white. Anyway, so I was in there and I was like, oh, wow, the first girl.
That's a really good reference, actually. Shark skin when you rub it the wrong way. That's a really good reference.
I'm just
underrated
saying,
reference.
I'm just saying, bro. All I'm saying is I felt it was important to share with you guys.
So don't just run out there looking to get your ass
ate.
That's
it.
That's what he's trying to say.
Hey, get you a Khaleesi. I think that's really the way to...
Did you text up that other girl yet?
Absolutely. I told her. I texted Khaleesi. I said, listen, I got my ass hit again, and I just want to let you know.
I need that fire.
I need to know what I needed with that dragon breeze. No, I was like, it wasn't the same. I said it wasn't the same. I was like, you have a talent.
And what'd she say?
She was like, baby, you can't just let any one of these hoes lick your ass.
that's a girlfriend text. Yeah, dog.
She's a real one.
That's a girlfriend text. A girl. One, I don't even do that. That's a girlfriend text.
Bro, this girl, I was like, true. I got mad beta in that moment. You're right. I'll listen to you next time, mom. I felt like I got scolded.
Oh, fuck. That's hysterical. Oh, my God.
Okay. I just had to let the assholes know. Just be, you know, is that fair, Alex? You've had more experience with the butthole licking than me. Is that fair? If you know what you're doing, you know what you're doing?
I've had someone with a dry tongue and it didn't feel as good.
It didn't feel as good. Yeah. All right. I just want to know. Akash?
Quick announcement. Y'all keep trying to send me dick pics.
Yeah!
I have not opened a single one. And here's what I'm wondering.
We go.
Alex, the thing says sent an image. And you said you got how many dicks before you stopped checking them? Anytime a dude sent me an image, I was like, nah, fam, we good.
Nah, they were sending titties and dudes
were
getting...
That's the brilliant stuff.
That's genius,
I'm faithful, so I ain't looking no way.
Bro, that is brilliant. Like, get you in with the titties.
Yeah.
Right?
And then they were sending, like, funny, clever shit. Like, a dude sent me Moby Dick.
I ain't checking.
Wait, he sent you what?
Moby Dick, the whale.
Oh, Moby Dick. Yeah, that's a good
dick. Hilarious.
Yeah, that's a great dick. Yeah. All right, whatever, man.
Then they should have followed it up with Moby's dick. Remember the singer Moby?
Moby looks like his own dick. You know, Moby's dick got a receding hairline.
That man looked like a pickup artist. That guy that wrote that book, Neil Strauss?
Oh, he does look like Neil Strauss. He's techno Neil Strauss. Oh, man.
It's so funny. Every time Kaz is in here, we talk about ass eating. For a real.
And if you're bringing it up, I feel like he only comfortable when Kaz ain't here talking about it.
Yo, wait, Kaz wasn't here when I talked about ass eating last time?
Yeah, when you talk about getting your ass eaten.
Yeah.
Well, next week we're going to have a nice long convo, the four of us.
Like a family.
Like a family, yeah. Shouts to you, Kaz. I hope you're getting your ass eaten by some Cajun chick.
Okay. It
smells
crawfish.
Like fucking jambalaya and crawfish. Yeah. Got some prickly armpit hairs because the razors don't work that much in a bayou.
Yo, okay? We should take a trip, a flagrant two trip to New Orleans.
Dude, I love New Orleans. It's one
of
my favorite
phenomenal
cities.
City.
You've been there?
Yeah. I went there for the Mardi Gras after Katrina.
Wow.
You got boots? You went with some hunters,
with
some
a poncho,
and a poncho. Y'all patch up that levee yet? Y'all patch up that? It's just Akash in a fucking in the what is those people who fish and they throw the line at the fish?
Me and Sean Penn just carrying called? Motherfuckers in the boats. Yeah. Yeah,
fly fishing. That's you in the suspenders. You seen those dudes?
No,
when they're sitting in the river.
Oh, yeah.
You never
seen
that type of fishing where they don't even
fly
do it from the side?
Fly fishing.
Yeah, but that's like really fishing.
Yeah. That's some country shit.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, when a coach goes onto the, you know, onto the floor to like during the game, that's a technical. But some coaches that are really into it, they'll be on the floor yelling.
Yeah.
Like
that's
how I feel about fly fishers. Like that's how
committed.
Much they're into fishing.
Passionate.
Yo, they want it more than anything.
No, I went See, this is some college shit. I live like 9 hours away from New Orleans, and then my homie came in at literally like, it was like 11:30 at night. He was like, yo, you want to go to Mardi Gras? And I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. I missed a test. And then I just emailed my professors like, look, man, I was at Mardi Gras, so I don't know if you want to give me a zero or what. And then the professor was like, nah, just come make it up. It was actually, but we went to Mardi Gras right after. He was such a dude about it. He was like, yeah, I get it, Mardi Gras. Yeah, what you want to do?
Private school is the shit.
Yo,
the teachers
pre-med,
know who they work for.
Pre-med, I could never have done that shit in any of the science classes, but by then I was done with all my pre-med stuff.
Oh,
this is just like a business class.
Yeah,
business is a fucking joke.
Yeah, they don't care about
anything
that.
Anything that's not science or math is so fucking easy in college. If you're getting C's in something that's not one of those two classes, you should just drop out for real. Be a janitor.
Nope, you want to know something?
Huh.
College,
mm-hmm.
I took one science class. It was called CPR. I gotta see it. Bro, yo, how you get a C is CPR. Like, shouldn't it just be you either know CPR or you don't know it?
Oh, fuck.
How do you even consider that a science class?
That's not a science, dog.
That's not science?
That's a 2-day class, max. Yeah.
No, it was a whole semester.
Yo, what the fuck kind of CPR
people do that
you gotta
in like
give?
8 hours.
Son, you didn't. Yo, we fucked up
people
so hard
that
semester.
For 8 hours.
So, like. Okay, well, I learned it over 8 hours over the whole semester then. Okay? All I'm saying is I found it weird that it wasn't just pass or fail, that you would let me pass, but like I'm okay as CPR.
Yeah. I gotta
like, isn't that dangerous?
No.
Wait, you took CPR too?
No. I got to be in coaching football. Oh, we're talking about joke classes that you think are a joke.
Dude, that's the most Texas fucking class in the entire world.
Oh,
you have coaching?
That's a class.
College class. College class. Holy. And then I skipped something important to study for like a biology test or something. I was like, this test ain't going to be fucking hard. Coaching football. Suck my dick. And she was so hard. It's so thorough. I was like, what the fuck did I get myself into?
This is what you got to say. Okay, you lead the boys into the shower. And you crack their cheeks in a rhythmic motion.
Yo,
a la Sandusky.
Oh, fuck.
Yo, that's how you gotta do it. That's A. You get an A.
Yeah, you probably right.
Yo, there's another class I had in college. Yo, we fucked up so heavy that semester. So me and my boy Javi, shout out to Javier, we took a massage class. Right? Like, what those bullshit ones you get little credits for? But we're like, yo, it's just going to be bitches in this class. And we just gonna get massages from them all day, and then we're gonna be massaging them, right? We show up to the class, right?
Oh, fuck.
That shit is half women, half men. Because everybody went there as a couple.
So, oh, fuck.
So who's left?
Damn. You and
me
Javi.
Me and Strong Hands Javi for a whole fucking semester rubbing each other down, Swedish, Thai, effluage. Bro, I know all this shit. I know Javi's body left and right. Bro, I know where the knots are, bro. I used to see him walk in. We lived together, too. I'd be like, yo, your calf a little sore, huh? Come over here and get that effluage, dog. It was wild,
oh,
bro.
Oh, fuck.
Shout out to Javi. Should we talk about sports or nah?
Nah.
I didn't know Andrew was gay before.
Son, I changed, just like Jon Stewart.
Oh, fuck.
Should we even say? I don't even want to bring up the Jon Stewart. There's a funny Jon Stewart clip going
maybe
around.
Maybe later.
Maybe later. Let's start with some flagrancy. Obviously, the most flagrant shit, you know, the week in flagrancy, we cannot address without talking about Conor McGregor's melee.
Oh, yeah.
At UFC 223.
What brought that on?
Okay. Little background.
Yeah, I need this.
So in the main event, it was Khabib against this guy named Tony Ferguson.
Just off name, I'm rooting for Khabib. Straight up. Sounds closer to India, you got that.
Sounds kind of Indian.
Well, Middle Eastern,
Khabib,
I'll take it. Close
Khabib.
Enough.
Yeah. He's Russian. Anyway.
I'm out.
I'm done. So they're supposed to fight. This guy, Tony Ferguson, gets hurt. He pulls out. Hawaiian kid named Max Holloway, who's a champion, says, I'll take the fight on 6 days' notice, right? Wow. He pulls up, but he's going to do it. The New York State Athletic Commission says he can't because the weight cut is too brutal. Apparently, in Vegas, they would have let him do it.
Mm.
But in New York, they just started sanctioning MMA fights.
Right.
So the last thing that they want is the second fucking big MMA fight.
Yeah.
The dude dies because he was dehydrated, right? So they have to get. So this other guy named Al Iaquinta comes in, steps in to fight this guy. The day before the fight, Khabib and a bunch of his teammates, because you kind of train in a team, that MMA shit, they corner a guy who was also fighting on the undercard, and they kind of like bully him.
Fuck him in the ass.
They fuck him good in the ass. Yeah, yeah. Some Andy Dufresne shit.
Sandusky the man.
Oh, hells yeah. Rhythmic right, motion. That's what's up. Yo, they pull up on the Sandusky. Yo, what if some dudes pulled up on you and instead of saying, yo, they were just like, yo, some dudes just pull up on you.
This makes my stomach hurt.
Bro. And they're just like, they just start going in the back. The one dude was like, yo, come here, stop. Yeah, stop. Stay right there. And then in the back you just start hearing his friends go, Penn State.
Oh,
Penn
man.
State.
Oh, fuck.
And he was like, yo, I'm gonna need that. And you were like, you took out your wallet. He was like,
nah.
Something else.
I need what that wallet is sitting on.
I mean, you what the wallet is sitting on. And you like my jeans? He's like, nah.
Deeper.
I'm going to need a different type of wallet. Where you hold some different shit. Like your dignity.
Your shit, actually. Yeah,
your shit. Literally your shit. That would be frightening.
Yeah, right. It really was uncomfortable.
Anyway, so they corner this dude. They kind of bully him up a little bit. They say that Khabib slapped him. I saw the video. I didn't really see a slap. But just they grabbed him kind of by the neck. And just they kind of bullied him.
Yeah.
That guy happens to be a part of Conor McGregor's crew.
Right.
Part of his team.
Right.
So Conor McGregor gets on a private jet, flies him and like 10 of his friends to...
That's what's up, actually. That's what's up.
Fam.
That's what's up.
Fam.
Yeah.
That's the best friends.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't been able to talk because his charges are pending. But once he could get talk, because he got the gift of gab... We're going to love Conor for doing this. Who wouldn't want his boy to pull up and defend? So they pull up to the venue. So the thing happened 2 days before. Day before, they pull up to the venue. They're looking all over the venue, right? They find Khabib and some other people. They're already in some buses leaving the venue.
Right.
So they just wreak havoc around the area. He picks up a handcart, throws it at the bus. It breaks a window. One of the other fighters ends up getting a little cut on his face, so his card gets taken out. or his fight gets taken out. And he gets arrested, or he didn't get arrested at the venue, but the police say they're looking for him for assault and battery charges. Blah, blah, blah. He gets arrested, spent the night in jail, bailed out the next day. Right? So the question is, was it staged? Now, there's a good argument to say it was staged. Because if you watch the video, they got this shit in like 6 different camera angles.
Right, right, right.
Like, the shit looks set up like an episode of CSI. I mean, you're in the bus. Now you're outside the bus. Now you got one camera over here.
See, I haven't seen that. I saw the ESPN video online, which was just one cell phone camera.
Right, right. But if you see the extended shit, like Dana White clearly hit the editors like, yo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pump this. Because think about it. The card is completely deflated.
Yeah.
Two guys have to drop out of the card.
Okay.
Right? Like, nobody cares about your card. Connor comes in and makes it an international news story.
Right, right, right.
Now we're actually somewhat interested in this fight that none of us were fucking interested in before.
I guess. I couldn't care less about the fight, but the next fight I'm interested in.
Okay, so there's the thing. This sets up the next fight.
Right.
Now, Dana White is talking slick. He's saying some shit like, oh, I don't know if I can do business with this person. I mean, he's going to be sued for millions of dollars and da-da-da-da-da-da. You're going to pay all that. Right. You're going to pay all that shit because there's one guy in this fucking UFC that makes you money. He's the guy that doesn't miss fights. Everybody else miss fights. Khabib misses his last fight or for weight or for health. He's the one guy that doesn't miss fights, and he's one guy that he gets make sure everybody gets paid. It's Conor McGregor. So you're going to put all your power to getting him out of jail, all your power into not getting a felony charge, all your power into everything. I think they were on the same page. I think he just went overboard. I think he called Dana White and was like, yo, I need access to the venue. I'm going to come and wreak havoc. It's going to be wild. It will promote the next fight between me and Khabib.
Go. He made so much more money boxing than he did UFC.
True.
He's not really incentivized to go back to UFC. He's not going to make much money going back to UFC. Not for sure, but that's my thinking. Is like, he's not going to.
Is it possible that now that he's made this amount of money boxing, right, he's established to the UFC and to the that he needs to make more? And it's in the best interest of the UFC to pay that man because you also get to make more.
Here's what I'm wondering. If I'm the UFC, you got this guy who is rightfully so, but he seems like he could really fuck up their whole business model, which is no fighter is bigger than the UFC.
That's true.
And so we don't have to pay you like boxers have to pay you. It's just going to be UFC 1,000,400 20 years from now.
You're right.
They're just going to keep going up in numbers or whatever it seems like they're doing.
Yeah.
So sure, Conor might be worth the money, but if I start giving Conor the money, I got to start giving all these guys the money.
So I'm 100% on board with you.
Right.
If these other fighters can make it to the fight.
Mm.
The problem with the UFC is they just sold their business for $4 billion to WME.
Right.
The agency. Yeah. Well, for everybody listening, WME is it's an acting agency, but they also, I guess...
The head of the agency is actually who Ari Gold is based on, in Entourage.
An Entourage, right? Yeah. So it's a massive agency, right? They sold it for $4 billion. Now, when you sell something for $4 billion, you got to prove you're going to make some money.
Yeah.
If you have a guy that makes money and all these other fights are getting canceled, we're talking about a bunch of fights have been canceled.
Right.
Your big time stars are dropping out. Ronda Rousey, bye. Holly Holm wins. And then what happens to her? Bye. Misha Tate gets the title. This is the females. What happens to her? Bye. Nobody could keep a fucking title. Right. Nobody can handle a fucking title. The big personality guys can't handle a title. This guy, Khabib, he's a great fighter, but he couldn't be more Russian and boring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He's like that Mr. Giant or whatever the fuck that character is, right? Like, he's just incredibly, okay. Like, no personality.
Right.
You need personalities.
Yeah.
If I'm a guy who paid $4 billion, if I'm Ari at WME, I'm going, I don't give a fuck if he's in jail. I don't give a fuck if he threw a hand truck. And I don't give a fuck if these fighters, heads got cut, this, that, the other. Wipe the slate clean, get that fight, because I want my money back.
Yeah, so I can believe that. I don't know that I don't think it wasn't staged, but I'm not positive it makes perfect sense. That's the best way I can put it.
Makes perfect sense to
in general. I don't know if Dana White, Cold is a Simpsons guy. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if Dana White would be like, yeah, fuck it. Come through, wreak havoc, we'll lose this fight.
Right.
And I guess it's already shoddy, but like, we'll lose this fight and then you just come back and I'm going to pay you damn near whatever.
Maybe they look the other way, like some, you know how they say that shit happened?
I can see that.
Like, it was like Pearl Harbor.
Nah, listen, this is also coming from a guy who don't know. Hilarious.
Have you heard that about Pearl Harbor?
If they knew the Japanese were going to attack?
It was kind of like all the ships had left. They're all on the other side of the coast. Like, a couple things were left. Look, I'm not going to go too conspiracy theory, but maybe they had an idea they were going to do it.
This conspiracy theory exists.
It does exist.
We're not going to say whether it's real or not.
Exactly. And so maybe the thing with the UFC is like, hey, you don't think Dana White got a text message? Hey, we saw Conor McGregor is here. Is he supposed to be here?
Yeah.
Like, he got a text, and I'm sure Dana was like, oh, Conor McGregor is at my thing, the day of the weigh-in. This is going to be lit.
Yeah.
Twitter's going to go crazy. Yeah. Instagram going to go crazy.
Yeah. I can see that. I can see that.
Free promo.
I can see that.
I don't think he goes, throw the fucking hand truck.
Also, Conor McGregor is the most hood-ass white boy on earth. Ain't that some rapper shit? Somebody fuck with somebody in my entourage.
I'm flying
back on my private jet.
Facts.
Name one rapper that would do that shit.
They don't got enough money.
That's what I'm saying.
Diddy ain't doing that. No. They don't got enough money. They pull up on some, like, four-wheelers.
Jay-Z ain't doing it.
Jay-Z got real soft. Jay-Z got super soft.
Did he just attack the coach with the weight?
Yeah, over his son in the area.
Wait, did he do what?
He attacked the coach for not playing his son.
Why don't your son be better?
Yeah, but I'm just saying that's some rapper shit to do.
Hold on. My mom pulled up on a coach once.
Yes.
But wait, what happened? How long ago was this?
Like 2 years ago?
This is a while
ago. A couple years ago, yeah. Two, 3 years ago.
I mean, still respect, but I agree with you. Like, this is the guy that you want to be your friend.
That's the illest, man. He's a guy that came from the gutter and made it and didn't forget about loyalty.
Yeah.
That's great, man.
Yeah. And it's just a teammate. Not his, like, best friend since he's a few years old. It's a fucking teammate. But he's like, he's not going to get bullied. I got $100 million now, so I can fly private around the world if I want to.
That's great. That's great. And if it's staged, I still love it.
Son, you know how hilarious that would be if it was us? I was like, wait, what happened? Hold on. No.
Andrew,
wait,
I'm on my way.
I'm on Expedia. Ooh, fam, we're going to have to come in the next couple weeks because tomorrow's a lot.
We're going to take 8 days. They're going to be there in 8 days?
Yeah. How much a boat from Ireland to New York? We're going to get there. Hey, don't worry. We're going to get there. Why don't you fly private? Yeah, see, the thing about private is they're talking about 20 grand. And I would use the miles, but wifey's upset.
Oh, fuck.
Yo, but I also heard that he was trying to sabotage the fight because they took his title away, because he didn't defend it.
Look, I'm sure that he's got self-interest in this going on here. Like, you know, this guy, I think what he was trying to do is set up the next fight. But there's an argument that he was trying to do that as well. Yeah. I mean, maybe if he does sabotage it, he injures one of them, then they don't have the fight, and then it's like, screw you. But I don't know. It's cool. This might be the first time he realizes how rich he is. Because once you have that kind of money, people start suing. And it's a different...
This is the first time he sees the other side of his wealth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
before,
it's just all yachts and fucking oysters and hang out with the family and enjoy life and show your Gucci sneakers on Instagram. The second you become a target of controversy, like, it could be you're at McDonald's and someone cuts in front of you. You go, fuck off, and you push them. It's like, you assaulted me.
Yeah.
Like, these rich people are constantly fighting.
That's why real wealth don't floss. Real wealth is quiet. Wealth, rich is look at my sneakers, Instagram, blah, blah, blah. No disrespect to Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart is rich. Wealthy motherfuckers ain't saying nothing.
Bill Gates
ain't saying nothing.
In Dockers right now.
Bruh.
Warren Buffett in Dockers.
If I was Bill Gates, I'd walk around with contacts just so you wouldn't recognize me.
Contacts?
Contacts. Contact lenses instead of his goofy ass glasses. I just want
to
look.
I thought you were trying to say your eyes were so recognizable.
Oh, no.
You had such beautiful eyes. Changing that one thing. Like, you got the Clark Kent of eyes, you know?
Well, I'm saying, man, if I'm wealthy, I don't need no fucking fancy watch.
Yeah.
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg is in hoodies, man.
Yeah, Zuckerberg about to be in an orange jumpsuit.
Bruh.
They might lock my dude up.
I can't wait till they find out what Google is doing.
Why, Google's bad?
Data collection is something only Facebook is doing? My girl works in marketing analytics, which is looking at all this shit, and the stuff that she knows is fucking, it's not a tenth of what Google and Facebook are doing, but it's still like, yo, they're all listening to us.
Oh, yeah, facts.
Your TV listening to you. Your cell phone is listening to you.
My vacuum started by itself the other day. And it's not even voice. That's what's scary. I don't even voice. Dog. I don't have voice activation. The shit just started out of nowhere.
It's terrifying. It's, you know, they're all going to kill us,
yo,
robots.
You know what's weird? This is what happened. I was leaving, right? And then I forgot something. I came back, and my vacuum slides itself out, and then all of a sudden it slides itself back in. And it was like, you know when you're a dad and you close the door and you think your kid's asleep, and then you... your kid looks up and he's like, oh, dad's gone. I can play video games.
Yeah, yeah. That's what the robot was doing.
That's what the robot was doing.
That's scary.
Yo, but it's scary, but it's also the best robot. It's like, when I leave, you just start cleaning. You know what I mean? Like, that's all it could do. It's the ideal robot, right?
Nah, man. That motherfucker was out there collecting data. He's seeing what kind of condoms you buy. Everybody.
He definitely collected some data. He collected all his DNA.
Fuck,
what would your vacuum know? Just horrifying things.
Horrendous.
Yeah.
Horrendous.
Damn, bro.
That's why we don't want our data collected, is because we all know what fucking monsters we are, right?
The degenerates?
Yeah, we're just all pieces of shit.
You know what my line is?
Hmm.
Pregnant porn.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm like,
I'm gonna watch.
That's the line you draw that you won't go past.
Yeah, like, I see the video and I'm like,
that's a good line.
That's a monster that we're watching. Let me go watch my ass gate. Son,
that's a good line.
Son, I cannot
pregnancy
do
is
it.
A sacred thing, man. You can watch this woman get fucked. Come on.
Yeah, nah, I can't do that shit. Alex, you done it?
Nah.
Nah? I feel like you need to have a line. You just need to have a line.
Yeah, that's a good line. That's a good line.
Pregnant porn. I know exactly what this thumbnail looks like, though.
I don't even like when they say teen in the title.
Say what?
When they say teen in the title, I don't
That's like how
that.
Me and you are different.
I can tell by the same one. Say what? Say huh? Say who?
No.
Yeah, I don't like barely legal either. That word barely just
you fuck it up. But also, you don't want legal.
That's what I was going to say. That's what I was trying to get at.
You want like pretty legal. Like pretty sufficiently legal.
Maybe legal.
No, but yo, for real, I'm with you on that. Barely legal and like teen. To me, you're just a well-behaved pedophile. Yeah. Right? Like, who is that marketing to? People who want the youngest-looking girl.
Yeah.
Which I don't like young-looking girls. We have a friend that is into that.
Which, oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can't shout him out.
Yeah.
It's not Kaz. I do promise you that. None of y'all know him. I don't even know if we've mentioned him on the show.
No.
But he's a creep. He a creep for sure. Just broke up with his girl because she got too old. Right? Bitch turned like 18 a quarter. He's like, fuck your quarter old ass out of here. I can't hang with you no more. All right. We back to sports. Where do you want to go, man? Should we just go to asshole of the week? Because you had a fiery hot take.
Let's just jump to asshole of the week. No. The asshole of the week is the Boston Celtics franchise.
Oof.
And here's why they
are... Hot take, Akash.
Here's why they are giant assholes.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving has a knee injury.
Yes.
They sit him for the remainder of the season.
Yes.
Just to be safe. Mm-hmm. He can recover, but they're just going to be safe. Isaiah Thomas had a serious injury last year.
Very serious.
Did they rest him?
Grinded that boy.
Were they kind to him?
Grinded him.
They just let him score fourth quarter buckets all day. Why? Because they knew they weren't going to pay him.
You think they knew as early as last year?
I think they knew early. I think they knew before last year started.
Wow.
I'm not paying this dude no fucking max.
Wow.
So he's hurt? Cool, let's win some playoff games with that bum-ass hip on that soon-to-be bum-ass body, and then we'll use him up. We don't need to re-sign him.
Son, that's Iceberg Slim.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, Iceberg Slim, Isaiah?
He got about 50 tricks left.
He got 50 hezzies left?
He got 50 games left, max. Ship him out.
Wow. So, and you think that they're being cautious with Kyrie?
Because they're not getting rid of Kyrie.
You also think that they know they can't win at this?
Yeah, I think they're thinking Gordon Hayward's out for the year.
Let's just
reload next year.
Why? And, yeah.
We got another good draft pick coming. Tatum's going to be in his second year. God. Brown is going to be in his third year.
Brown doesn't even get talked about, and he's wildly talented, too.
Yeah.
Because Tatum is kind of absorbing all of the...
Also, all these motherfuckers keep making draft moves that we're just like, really? Why would you do that? Like Jaylen Brown, we're like, phenomenal. Jason Tatum, we're like, what are you trading now from 1 to 3 for? Markel Fultz is
Well, Markel Fultz might be all right.
He might be
all
right.
But I agree with you. They're making all the great moves, but huge asshole. Oh my God, Isaiah Thomas got to be so fucking heated. Oh, now we sit players?
Yeah. Now we rest. Now we value getting healthy. Kyrie a free agent next year. Kyrie getting re-signed. He is the franchise.
Hold on. Kyrie is...
He's a free agent at the end of next year, I believe.
I thought he signed.
Did he sign an extension? I might be wrong. He might have signed an extension. Either way, he's the franchise.
Yes,
he's not going anywhere. They know he's the guy. They're going to disregard the fact that he's actually also fragile because we all forgot to. He's so talented, we forget.
He got hurt. He got hurt in the first
I remember, I think I said this on the podcast last week. Someone tweeted you once that his knee was made of cornflakes, and I thought it was the funniest shit ever.
That's hilarious.
Just the best.
And we forgot. And Boston forgot. And he's the franchise. We're going to sit him. We're going to rest him. Plus, the knee is like structurally okay, but there's something that's going to take longer to recover with this or something. They're being like extra cautious.
Yeah, let's just clean it up. That's what they're doing. They're doing some cleanup.
Come back next year.
We know we're not going to win this year.
We know we're not going to win this year. They knew they weren't going to win last year, but I think also we're not going to resign Isaiah Thomas, so fuck it. And this poor son of a bitch is out there recruiting Gordon Hayward with tweets. Isaiah Thomas had a tweet that said like the Boston Celtics franchise had a four-leaf clover, and then it had 17 Larry O'Brien trophies or like trophies, and then it had like the other team is considering Miami had like 3 trophies.
The Jazz had zero.
Yeah. He's recruiting.
He didn't resign yet though.
He didn't resign. Not yet. But the idea.
But he's the franchise.
That's his team. Holy shit! Yeah, it's a little bit. Oof. There's something I was telling you earlier, and I want to express it here. I think that we undervalue, and I don't know if value is the right word, but I'll just use it anyway.
Kaz
ain't here. Fuck him. We undervalue the role of the Boston media.
Okay, how so?
I'll get to it through this. I think that Dwayne Casey, the Raptors coach, mm-hmm. is the most underrated coach in basketball.
I'm with it. Former Mavs assistant.
Yep. Great culture. Comes from great culture. Great guy. Yep. Really sweet
nice
guy.
Nice womanizing culture. You know, nobody wants to point out the year the Mavs are sexually harassing all these women. They got a ring.
Bro,
Me to be upset the year they got a ring? I'm not going to do it.
Dude, are you saying that was your Larry Nassar? Yo, that's fucked up. So, and Penn State was getting...
No, I don't think they were winning chips. Well, I don't know when he was doing it, but I don't know when they stopped winning.
Anyway, point is, playoffs every single year.
Right.
Right now, they're the first seed. The last few years, we're talking about first, second, maybe it was third or something like that. Have they had some struggles in the playoffs? Sure. But has Brad Stevens had struggles in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Brad Stevens is the poster boy. He is the golden child of the NBA.
Right.
You can't talk about coaching without mentioning Brad Stevens.
Yep.
And I think it's because the Boston media or the Boston Post or whatever it is, the Boston Journal, whatever the fuck.
Boston Herald.
If they post it, everybody else jumps on top of the story.
Bob Ryan is incredibly well respected too.
Is he the beat writer? He's a sport guy. Okay. So, and I think they have such a stronghold on the media that they can push out these stories, and whereas a smaller market like Toronto can't get the same traction on their stories. Because by all means, Casey should be mentioned at least in the last 3 or 4 years.
He should be coach of the year this year.
Without a doubt. They're the best team in the East.
Who else could it possibly be?
Son,
he has to get it this year.
I mean, maybe you could argue maybe the guy with the 76ers.
Whatever.
But they have more talent. We're talking about Toronto, and I'm not trying to knock Toronto's talent.
Philadelphia's got 2 transformational players.
Facts. And Toronto has 2 good guys. Like DeMar DeRozan is a really good player, and Kyle Lowry is a really good player.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call either of them incredible. I'd say they're both really good players.
If someone said you're building a championship team is going to have Kyrie or DeMar DeRozan on it, what option do you want them to be?
Not a question.
They got to be the third option.
Not a question.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like, how the fuck is he not getting the credit that he deserves? It's shocking to me. And I think it all has to do with this Boston media. We are sucking Brad Stevens' dick. He almost got swept in the first round last year. This year they're doing good. And the argument is, he's doing good with not a lot of players. Who else do the fucking Toronto have?
No.
Name 5 players on Toronto. They're the first seed in the East, and nobody can name five players in Toronto that does it isn't with Toronto.
Point. That's a great point.
How do you not give Dwayne all the credit?
Well, they always say there's an East Coast media bias. You hear that a lot.
Okay.
Kind of like people say liberal media bias.
But and don't get me wrong. Look it, the Knicks are trash, and we dominate the story.
Yeah.
So, of course, a bigger market, and the Lakers are trash. They dominate the story. Right, yeah. Julius Randle playing center. Is he going to change the game? Is that it? All I'm saying is there's a, that media bias is absolutely true, but some credit should be given to fucking Dwayne Casey.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Does he have to start tweeting? Does he have to Instagram? Do the Toronto writers need to do a little bit more? What needs to happen to get some ESPN looks?
Toronto needs to be in America.
Yo, is it that simple?
I really think it is. There's going to be Toronto fans that are outraged I called DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry third options. And maybe I'm wrong, but either way, no one else is going to give a fuck. No guy in fucking Milwaukee is going to be like, yo, how dare you disrespect Toronto? How are you guys sleeping on Toronto? It's a different country, and we're just like, yo, y'all are up there. Do your thing.
So you're saying if Toronto was part of America, if Toronto was Milwaukee, or Toronto was Memphis?
I think we'd be more loudly being like,
Toronto's Memphis.
And if it's as big as Toronto, relatively speaking.
Great sports fans.
Yeah. Oh, great sports fans. Annoyingly great sports fans. Won't shut the fuck up, sports fans.
It's true.
So obnoxious.
Yeah. They're like Philly
They're like
fans.
Not white trash Boston fans.
I was about to say they're Philly fans with healthcare. You know what I mean? So they're not slowly dying from like, you know, psoriasis or cirrhosis of the liver, whatever
that shit is. Yeah, for sure.
They're like healthy Philly fans. Yeah. They eat good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Not just cheesesteaks everywhere.
Well, they're eating, don't eat like, good stuff. Poutine is trash.
Yeah, but that's the French. Nobody cares about
fair
that.
Enough. Fair enough.
Okay. I'm just saying, I feel for Case. And I feel for Toronto in a way, but maybe Toronto benefits from the lack of exposure.
What they're going to have to do, and I've been saying this, they're going to have to get to the finals before we finally tip the cap and say, all right, so, you know what? I also think there's a bit of fatigue, a Raptors fatigue, where it's like, all right, we've seen this dance. Now, this is the best they've looked, for sure.
Good.
But we've seen this dance where it's like, yo, the Raptors, maybe the Raptors.
And then LeBron just
does what LeBron does. And then you also lost him twice in the past 2 weeks. Not saying they can't beat him in the playoffs this year, but we're going to have to see it before we finally give it
That's
up.
That's fair. I want, you know, meritocracy. I'm with that. Here's my question. Every so many years, every 10, 15 years, there's a sleeper NBA champion.
Yeah.
Happened with Dallas.
Sure did.
Happened with Detroit.
Yeah.
It happened with Houston.
Yeah.
Every 10, 15 years,
there's
a sleeper. Some things happen in the league. Jordan's out of the league for a little bit. There's no dominant star. There's a riff. Whatever. Something happens. Is this Toronto's? You have a depleted Golden State Warriors teams whose chemistry is not all there. They got like little attitude problems. They're getting texts out of nowhere. You have a nice Houston team, but we don't really know if they'll lock up and play defense in the playoffs. The East is open to everyone, but Kyrie's out of here. So it's really the 76ers team or the Cavs. Is this the sleeper year for Toronto?
I mean, it could be, but if the Cavs stay at the 4 seed, that's a crazy second round matchup for them.
So if they avoid the Cavs until the Eastern Conference Final,
they might have a shot.
But facing them too early, you're dealing with playoff LeBron, and it's just a different month.
I think so. Well, I mean, actually, I don't know. I just don't know if they get past LeBron. I don't know if they get past LeBron in general, but maybe you're right. This is the most vulnerable they've looked in their conference. Since LeBron got... This is the most vulnerable LeBron has looked in the East since the first year when he went to Miami and the Bulls were the ones.
This is since Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, maybe.
Yo,
Houston is kind of like Toronto. James Harden, Chris Paul, we need to see it in the playoffs.
Yeah.
We need to see it in the playoffs.
I'm just saying, you might have heard it here first, and God forbid the flagrant two curse. God forbid the flagrant two curse.
The most powerful curse.
It is the most powerful curse in sports. More powerful than the Philly curse.
You know how powerful? No. Yeah, not only is it more powerful than the Philly curse, we have been going back and forth on whether or not the Cavs won and lost a LeBron-Kyrie trade. I'm sorry, the Kyrie-Boston trade. And every time we declare a winner, something shitty happens to the other side.
Yeah.
Early on, we thought the Cavs got this great return. Isaiah Thomas comes back, plays like dog shit, whatever. Trade him for pieces. Then we say, Boston won the fuck out of this trade. Kyrie's knee is done for the year.
It's true.
Whoever we declare the winner of the trade, fucked.
It's over.
The whole season is fucked. I'm on IG video right now. I don't know why Andrew would do this in the middle of the podcast.
No, I was just saying. I thought you were on a good rant.
No, it's over now. Yeah, it's over. It's over. I'm just here on camera.
Fucked it up. My bad. It's all good. All right. Okay. It is what it is. We move on. Shall we?
Shall we?
Okay, fine. We move on. What else do we have going on? There was a story. I don't know if I want to talk about that.
Do you want to talk about the Sixers?
Yeah, I mean, how real are they? How much do they even need? How much do they even need? That's what's scary.
Wow.
Ben Simmons is terrifying. We've been giving credit to Embiid this whole year, and I get it. But Ben Simmons is a guy I keep looking at like, you're a point guard, and you're taller, 2 inches taller than LeBron, and 1 inch taller than Magic.
Scary.
It's insane.
It's scary, and I don't think he needs to learn how to shoot, but if he does, then it's frightening.
He will.
He will, but my point is, like, I think he's so dominant that he could function without shooting.
Yeah, he is functioning without shooting.
Yeah, he is, but it is frightening what could fucking happen with him. I think Embiid will be great for that team, especially at the end of games. Like, the end of games, you want a guy. The end of games, it turns into 90s basketball.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that a little bit?
A little bit.
Like, I just want a guy who can pound it in the fucking paint, or they'll give it to LeBron up at, foul line extended or something like that, and they're like, oh, make a move, either pull or shoot. But it's nice to have a guy you can get in the post, pull up, give you two, or get fouled, get two.
Yeah.
And Embiid is that guy. But the rest of the game, let that boy Ben go.
And you know what?
Let that motherfucker go.
You know what's crazy? They're only going to get better. They got, not only do they have a shot at LeBron in the offseason.
Yeah.
I was thinking earlier when we were talking about Toronto, if I'm the Cavs, I'm most scared of the Sixers. Because who's the one guy that could kind of seemingly mark up with LeBron? It's the guy who has his dimensions and plays in the perimeter. It's Ben Simmons.
Scary.
Now, I don't think he's good enough yet. He will be soon if he's not. But, like, I don't know. They just seem to match up really well with everybody. The only issue they have is no experience in the playoffs.
So you think they could be nervous and then get skip-boxed?
I remember when the Mavs made it to the championship in 06, all the experts were picking the Heat because they had more experience in the finals. And I was like, y'all are so fucking stupid. Yeah. And then it turned out that was a huge deal.
Yeah.
Dirk Foley didn't have the experience. So I think that could happen. But fuck, they're scary.
Yeah, that's the future. Everybody's talking about Boston as a team of the future. I don't know, man.
The process.
I don't know,
process,
man.
Process is process.
Yo, it is.
Yo.
This shit is on point.
Markelle Fultz, I don't know if he's going to be... it almost seems like whatever they get from him is just gravy.
Yeah, they don't need anything else.
So the trade might end up working out all right for them. I would rather they have Tatum. I don't know why you would get two. I don't know. But the trade might end up working out all right for them.
All right, so fine. 76ers are fine. I hate to admit it. I'll be doing comedy at Philly 20th and the 21st of this month. So come out to Helium Comedy Club in Philly. Those should be some fun shows. You'll actually get to hear me. I won't apologize, but I have to give it up to you this year. Last year, it was fun. I got to go and just fucking trash them for the first 10 minutes.
I can't fucking believe they won this year.
I know. It's bad. Okay. We should switch away from basketball and go to a way less fun sport that I think that we can make a positive impact on. Okay.
Right.
Baseball. I think.
Can we stop real quick and just not use the word sport?
Okay, let's not use it. What should we call it? Food game.
Food game is
a
great.
Food game.
I like it. It's a nice food game.
Yeah, it's a nice food game. You could have some seeds. Yeah. You know what I mean?
You know,
could eat some little treats. You shouldn't
be able to chew tobacco playing a sport.
No. You should be breathing too heavy to have 1,000 sunflower seeds in your mouth. How do they not choke to death, half of these guys?
They're not running.
Of course they're not. They're hanging around in the aisle. And the fact that they don't let them put in, ear pods or something like that. If you're in the outfield, you're just sitting there. Getting roasted in the fucking sun.
I mean, yeah.
Put on some merengue or some shit.
Yeah,
that shit
you know.
It's boring, man.
It's boring.
I played for a little bit.
You played baseball,
yeah.
Right? You're just standing around. You're doing absolutely nothing. Yeah. And then they pull their hamstring and people can't believe it. They've been standing in the same fucking place.
They haven't warmed up.
Exactly. It's like when a security guard finally does some security and he pulls every muscle. It's like, yeah, no shit. He's been sitting in that comfy padded chair for 3 years. This is the first time he's gotten out. So I think Flagrant 2 should do our best to improve the sport of baseball. And I'll tell you where this comes from. I got on a little YouTube wormhole. I destroyed baseball on this show last week.
Right.
And I went People on a little YouTube, but they were upset. But I went on a little YouTube wormhole and I was like, I have to understand this sport. what is it that people love about this sport? I have to truly understand it. I'm going to shit myself, so we might have to pause.
Oh, I got to piss again.
Okay. Let's take a little pause because I took a smooth move tee earlier today, and and it is moving. We'll be right back.
Updates on the smoothness coming.
We good? Oh, my God. Okay, we're back.
Oh, welcome hello. Back to Flagrant 2. No easy bowel movements.
That one was easy. Bro, dude, my asshole just opened wide open. You came in while it first fell out.
Yeah, I had to take a piss, and you sprinted to the bathroom.
Okay, well, first of all, for everybody that wasn't here, and nobody could see it because no camera captured it.
Right.
Earlier in the episode, we moved a couple of the chairs because Kaz isn't here, so I'm blaming this on Kaz. And one of the chairs was Alex stacked next to the door to leave the studio.
Right.
But he stacked on top of another chair. It fell at the beginning of the episode. I put it back there. No big deal. Didn't think anything of it. I didn't think that I was going to have an emergency bowel movement an hour into the podcast. I go to the bathroom. I can feel it coming out of my ass. And again, this is not
well, first, he had to move a giant chair to get the door to open.
I'm trying to open the door.
As he's like shitting his pants.
Son, it's coming out. When I explain to you, it's not like, it didn't come out. Son, it was two girls, one cup. If you looked at the bathroom, dude, if you looked at the toilet, you couldn't see a single like thing of poop. There was no bananas in there. There were no little pellets or anything like that. It was just part of the toilet.
That's repulsive.
It looked like a parfait.
I want to vomit.
Dude, it looked like parfait, bro. It looked like parfait.
I just ate a parfait. Why would you do that to me?
It looked a lot like that. It was very similar. Yeah, yeah. So, okay.
Yo, that's what you get fucking with these Instagram hoes and then flat tummy too.
Wait a minute, my smooth move?
Is that Instagram tee?
Nah, is that what smooth move is?
Yeah.
Oh, so fit tee just makes you poops?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How you know?
Shut up.
Alex got some fit tee to go with his pull-ups and fucking leg raises. Alex, Alex just got out of his son.
Did you DM an Instagram model and like, yo, I'd love to take you out? And they were like, how about some tea?
You got some hair vitamins too, bro? You taking some hair gummies?
You got some white teeth over there, man.
You damn right I got my some teeth whitening, bro. We all thoughts out here, bro. Who we? I just need a trip to Dubai to confirm it. What were we on the middle of? What were we on the cusp of?
Man, baseball. We're trying to fix baseball.
Oh, how do you fix baseball? Oh, yeah. So I went on the YouTube, a wormhole search.
You know what's crazy?
Go.
If you were watching baseball and you had to take that same shit, you could do it if you were on either team. Like, as long as you weren't up to bat, you were fine. You could do it.
Shouldn't they be able to pee in the outfield? It's already grass. You know what I mean? Like, you should be able to go to the corner of the outfield and just take a piss.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So that's one thing that we could do to help baseball. We're just going to list a bunch of things. But I went in this wormhole, and I'm not going to lie, I found some entertaining things about baseball. There's an interesting culture behind baseball.
All right.
What's that? And there's that non-baseball fans, myself included, and I grew up playing baseball, don't know about. But there's interesting pranks that they do that, if they marketed, it would be way more likable. The problem with baseball is that people that are in charge of it are all 80-year-old white dudes, right? And it's too polite. They're trying to be refined and regal.
Traditional. They're all about tradition.
Tradition. And some of the traditions are really funny, but what they should be doing is sending those clips to ESPN. They should be putting those clips up on the MLB.com website. They should be really doing everything they possibly can to get the cult. So one thing is when a rookie hits a home run, everybody in the dugout, in the dugout, acts as if he didn't do anything.
That's really funny.
Wouldn't you do that with your boys?
Yeah, 100%.
His first home run in the major leagues, and everybody's just there chewing their gum, spitting on the side. They don't even acknowledge him when really he walks in. And then after a few minutes, they do it.
Right.
But it's hilarious. It's like that's what you would do with your boy.
Right.
So the thing about baseball, which never is captured, but it's always captured in baseball movies, is it's just
dugout.
It's fucking 12 guys.
Yeah.
It's 12 guys hanging around. What do we do when we hang around?
Yeah.
We bust balls. We play pranks on each other. They're doing things where they're putting in each other's hair and not letting them know. It's constant pranks because that's what guys do when we're all hanging out fucking around, right? But you never see that shit on ESPN or seldomly see on ESPN.
Right.
You seldomly see, like they did this one thing. This umpire was calling a bunch of bad calls behind home plate, right?
Right.
They hit the umpire on purpose. So they went high and inside to the batter,
Oh, shit.
So the the catcher who was a lefty, so he had his mitt in the right hand, is supposed to catch the pitch over his left shoulder.
Right.
What he does is he gets there a little late, and the pitch just fucking beams the umpire in the shoulder, oof, right? And then he goes, oof, he like acts as if he missed it. Like he's right, not going to catch a regular fucking fastball, yeah, right? Yeah. And the video was called, they hit umpire on purpose. This little shit, get it out there?
No, I think that'd be good.
Right? Like with hockey, they show the fights.
Yeah.
Show the beef. Show the little funny shit on the sidelines. Show them cursing at the referees. Like, obviously, get on roids.
Right, right, right.
You know, what else would you do to
obviously.
Maybe more fights.
Yeah, show the fights. The fights are, dude, someone hits you with a 100-mile-per-hour hard thing, yeah, and you're just going to scold them?
Charge them out. The charge greatest them out. Highlight in Texas Rangers history is Robin Ventura. Nolan Ryan's a pitcher.
Yeah.
Pitches, I don't know if he comes close to hitting Robin Ventura. He actually hits him. I think he comes close. Robin Ventura charges the mound. Nolan Ryan's in his 40s. Robin Ventura is this young, hot shit, whatever. Charges him on. Nolan Ryan just gets him in a headlock and just starts punching him in the fucking face.
I remember that.
Guy's bleeding from his forehead. It's the greatest moment in Texas Rangers history to this day because we haven't won anything. But that kind of shit is dope.
Yo, you have one of those happen a week, I'll watch baseball.
You know, All-Star Weekend.
The car crashes in NASCAR. I need a couple.
You know, All-Star Weekend isn't really about, for the NBA, it's not about the game.
But hoes.
That's what baseball is. But it's not about the hoes. It's about everything surrounding the game.
That's another thing. We don't show enough hoes. Show slutty girls in the stands. You know what I mean? Show girls in their fucking bikinis. There's girls out there in their bikinis.
I do remember when I watched the World Cup, the women they would show on the cutaways were ridiculous.
Fine. Just Brazilian.
Just crazy.
Yeah.
I tried to find out who one of them was.
No, you didn't.
I did. What was it, 2016, the last World
what
Cup?
What team?
Fuck, Colombia maybe? I think it was Colombia.
Venezuela, yeah, one of those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruh.
Bad bitches. Bad
and
bitches.
It was like, everybody was trying to figure out who this girl was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some
yeah.
random girl.
You've never seen that happen at a baseball game. And fine chicks watch baseball. They say that baseball players got the hottest wives. Like down in like Arizona where they do those like spring training.
Yeah.
Just like shorties everywhere trying to nab a baseball player.
Yeah,
is that
yeah,
the word?
Nab, yeah.
Nab a baseball
is
player.
Is it because they make the most money?
Maybe that's it. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not. Maybe they're the only white athletes left. I don't know. That's another thing I would do. I would say that I would, if I was a league, I would do everything in my power to get the foreigners to learn enough English for interviews. If you look at any foreign athlete that's made it big, they find a way to learn enough English to do the interviews. Right. You don't have to be good.
Right.
Just have enough. It's almost better if you have your little mess ups.
Manny Pacquiao.
Exactly.
That Manny, accent makes him mad likable.
Manny can't go on Jimmy Kimmel and have those viral moments if he doesn't know enough English. And he barely knew enough.
Right.
But the thing about learning English is it lets us know about your personality.
Right, right, right.
And we get attached to players' personalities.
Miguel Cabrera probably got a great personality.
All we know is he throw the ball. I hit the ball. And that's it. Right? Like,
no, yeah, you're right.
If I were baseball, I would hire Barstool to do the marketing for the sport. I'd say you are our marketing consultant. Whatever you do to make, you know, frat life fun, apply that.
And those
baseball.
Are the guys who watch baseball, and them and fucking, Latinos.
That's it.
That's your market.
And those two groups aren't really that different. They love don't. Slutty drunk girls. Do you know what I mean? Like wear a pastel. You know what I mean? Are into flip-flops.
That's hilarious.
Latinos and WASPs, same people.
That's hilarious.
Right? Misogynistic.
Both work hard.
Hard workers.
One of you gets paid a little bit differently than the other, but you
but
know.
They're working. The one owns the restaurant, one works in it, but it's still restaurant business. There's something to it, right?
Right.
You let them, because I think they're good at marketing, the Barstool guys. I think they understand the fun of sports.
You've spoken to that before.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't you think that they could?
I think it could work. Yeah, I think if it's marketed differently, because I know baseball's ratings aren't terrible, but they have a problem that young people aren't watching baseball. That's a fact.
So
they're all concerned about it.
Bring us in.
Yeah, do some shit to make us want to watch, because it really is just slow as fuck. It's boring as fuck. Just, ugh, I don't know.
Baseball needs a fillet.
Yeah. I heard somebody saying, like, cut down the stupid, like, the throws to first that pitchers always do. They'll do, like, five throws to first. Just cut that shit out. Just cut it out.
Look, you could do little rule changes. I'm not going to lie. And I think they are trying to speed up the game. But
that would help me.
Even if you speed up the game, if I don't think the game's interesting, I'm not going to watch it just because it's shorter.
Right, right, right. Playoff baseball I can get into.
Playoff like, is exciting.
The World Series is the one thing, if the Rangers aren't in it, that I could watch a couple games and be like, oh, if I have a team I like. Because then it's the slow pace of it almost adds to the tension and suspense.
Excitement, yeah.
And you're like, oh, fuck, I'm locked in.
It's like what we were talking about with comedy earlier. Sometimes if you slow, you know, yep, you build that fucking tension, build the tension, then you break it.
But 162 games is fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Stop it.
But, all right, realistically, you think they'll ever change?
No. Same with the NBA. You don't need so many games.
What can we do outside of the games?
Yeah, just trying to make that shit more popping.
Make the fucking players sexy. Make people want to like the players.
Yeah.
You know, and if you got a handsome guy players, sell them to the girls like they did. They got chicks watching boxing with Oscar De La Hoya. Like, chicks were all about boxing. Do you remember this?
Nah.
Do you remember this, Alex? Mm. Maybe you're a little bit younger.
I remember he was doing like Perk Plus commercials or some shit, wasn't he?
Son.
So was Mike Piazza, though.
And chicks probably fuck with Mike Piazza.
Probably, man.
All I'm saying is, like, you can get girls into shit if there's handsome dudes. Like, girls will elect presidents if they're handsome.
Right.
They'll definitely watch a sport.
Right.
You know, they say we objectify.
Oh, yeah.
I ain't going to objectify no bitch into the presidency. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't care how nice your titties is.
Now they want to be president. Nah.
Nah, fam.
You go wait.
To the left.
You know, might have liked Jay. Figure out how he got you.
What's your husband doing? Facts.
That could work. Listen, just something to make it more exciting. It's so fucking slow. Who are these people that are watching regular season baseball? Get a job.
So here's
get a fucking job, man.
You
make a
think
friend.
It's slow, right?
Yeah.
And you are into a sport that takes literal days.
Yeah.
And if you think it's slow,
it's brutal.
Now, I would argue that your sport, which is what we're talking about, cricket, I would argue is more exciting. Because there's more action.
I think so.
Every play.
I think so. There's something. It's popping off.
Yeah. So guys are moving things. It's like everybody. It's like someone's already on base.
Right.
I don't know all the rules, but the little things I've seen.
Yeah.
It's so maybe that allows you to watch it for longer.
Yeah. Also just rooting interest. Like, I don't know if I could watch every not important, like not World Cup.
Yeah. You can't watch league games, but India versus Pakistan.
I'm in.
Give me a comfy seat.
Yeah. Gully gully me short hair, Pakistan short hair.
What does that mean?
That means there's noise in the alley. Pakistanis are thieves.
Things you will learn at the American Born Desi Comedy Show if you show up to the American Born Desi Comedy Show.
You know what's
show?
So funny is the first time I watched the World Cup, I was in New York, got super into it, went to a bar to watch the final, heard that chant.
World Cup of?
Of cricket. World Cup of cricket. Went to a bar, bunch of Indians there in Curry Hill and Murray Hill.
Yeah.
All at the end of the match, as India's about to win the final, they're all chanting this, Gali Gali Me Short Hair, Pakistan Short Hair. And I'm looking around, I'm like, we're playing Sri Lanka. How much do you hate Pakistan? And you're just saying this now. Like, it's just celebratory, whoever you playing. That shit had me dying, man.
Yo, it's so true. Other countries got way better fight songs.
Yeah, man.
Like, what are our fights? Fly, Eagles, fly.
Oh, God, I gotta listen to these fucking losers sing that all the time.
But it's just dumb. There's no aggression.
Use some of your racism in a chant, maybe. You know what I mean?
No, we just use that for the mascot.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. So we saved baseball. You're welcome, baseball fans. And you can't say you don't disagree with us. If there's anybody that listens or actually watches baseball and you're a big baseball fan, keep the same energy. Send a DM again. We'll have that conversation. But tell me our suggestions aren't on point.
They're good suggestions.
We're looking out for you.
You're right? You got to watch 4 hours of this shit?
Sports sucks.
A game takes 4 hours?
Fuck that. Fuck that game.
Fucking Tuesday. They got day games, bruh.
Yo, that shit infuriates me. Day games during the week.
Unbelievable.
Are your fans housewives? Okay, they're choosing between Days in Our Lives or the Cincinnati Reds versus the Washington Nationals? No.
And I guarantee you Judge Judy gets higher ratings.
Facts.
Judge Judy making more money than your fucking...
Giancarlo Stanton. Judge Judy getting paid.
Bruh.
And she's swinging wood too.
Yeah.
Yo, the highest paid person swinging wood...
She's getting people
courtroom.
Out of there, too.
Facts.
She locking people up.
One strike. One strike, you out. Pay back $500 for that hairbrush.
Oh, fuck.
Whatever your petty crime is.
Man, I can't think of anything else baseball could do to make me watch.
Fights.
Maybe make the field shorter so not only there are more home runs, there's more outfielders chasing down You know what I mean? Like, exciting play when the outfielder, like,
yeah,
saves it from being
a homer. Oh, you like that?
Yeah, I think there's jumping, at least.
Yeah, there's something athletic, yeah.
Fucking put something athletic in this sport, for God's sake.
I'm not into, like, the diving catch thing.
Oh, see, I'll fuck with that. On a highlight, I think that's dope. I mean, I'm not watching the game for that.
Yeah. I'm just like, but then again, maybe if it was my team, who cares? Should we talk about this LeBron beef with Nick Saban?
Yeah, it's interesting, I think.
So basically, LeBron has a show on his network, Uninterrupted, called The Shop. It takes place in a barber shop, and he and his friends talk candidly about, you know, things going on in the world.
Right.
Nick Saban started a show called Talking Shop.
Something like that.
Shop Talk.
Something like that.
I think. And it takes place in a barbershop, and it's him and his friends talking shop. LeBron is going to sue because he thinks that he's stealing his intellectual property. I'm the biggest LeBron stan in the world. Yeah. I fucking love LeBron.
Agreed.
And I come from an industry where Akash does as well, where people steal creative, whatever that word is I just said, creative property.
Intellectual property.
Intellectual property IP. All the time. They steal jokes. They steal ideas for shows, etc.
And big networks will come to you and say they want your idea and then give you nothing for the intellectual property. Yep. And then throw you off of it.
Yep.
Try to do it to us.
So that being said, I think LeBron is 100,000% here. I wish I had a hotter take for it. It's really not one. The show has been done 1,000 times by comedian friends of ours.
There's movies called Barbershop.
Yeah.
It's all about the barbershop.
Yeah, and it's to be honest with you, and I love LeBron, but it is indicative of his lack of experience in the creative world.
Yeah.
When you first get into creating shows, you mine the ideas in your life where you have the most fun convos. So everybody who just starts thinking of TV shows starts with, well, where do I like having conversations? Well, I'd like doing it in the barbershop. Why don't we do it in the barbershop?
There is a web series right now. It's been going on for like a year or two. I can't remember the comedian's name, but he cuts comedians' hairs and then they do a show and it's all a web series.
Yeah. So, it happens also like in bars, like, or whatever. I don't know what the fuck. But essentially, once you get in the creative game a little bit more, you start thinking what hasn't been done.
Yeah.
Instead of what would be a good idea. Because you want to do something different, right? You want to transcend. And this is just indicative of someone who's not trying to do what hasn't been done, who's just like, yo, it's always so much fun when we're in the barbershop hanging out with the guys, right? We should do a show where we're just hanging out with guys in a barbershop.
Yeah. And maybe he doesn't know it has been done. Because you got it, but it's not a unique idea. Exactly. Also, he's just doing a worse version of your show. Who's
Saban?
Who wants to see what they're talking about at the white barbershop? That's a salon, fam. I don't give a fuck about anything. Sam ain't saying nothing fantastic. All right? Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to Great Clips, you fucking loser.
Yo, he should have called that shit the comb over. We're going to comb over some topics this week and give our hot takes on everything's going. Yo,
that's good.
Bunch of old white dudes.
Yeah, I like that. That's
the
good.
The comb over.
That's really good.
Come on, Saban. Really holla at your boy, Saban.
That's really good. Irony here, Saban has more hair than LeBron.
Yo, if anybody's entitled to the barbershop show.
He's the guy with a full head of hair.
Son,
60.
What if Saban said that to LeBron? That's end of discussion.
Oh, bro,
what if
you
Saban was like, why are you even at a barbershop?
Shit.
They should call your shit Bosley. Hair club for men.
That's your show. I want to see LeBron sit down in that chair and be like, just give it back. Just put it back, please. I've had enough.
The Benjamin Button shop. Bring my hairline back.
And listen, we're guys that will always defend LeBron pretty much, but this is just nah, man.
No, man. It's absurd.
Yeah.
It's a rudimentary idea. Very basic idea, this barbershop thing.
Talk and shop.
If you went into any pitch meeting and your name wasn't LeBron James, this show gets canceled.
If you didn't own the fucking network, they wouldn't make it.
Facts. 100% guaranteed whoever his creative of like, what is it called? Content, whatever that is. Guaranteed when he pitched it, whoever else pitched it with LeBron's cosign, he wanted to be like, no, dude, that's like the most pitched idea in the world. It's a pretty basic idea. Like that's what teenagers.
Or it's just cool to see LeBron doing it. And that's fine. But then by the same token, if I'm a college football fan, it's cool to see Nick Saban doing it.
Absolutely. To be honest, get the fucking Clippers out of there. I don't want to listen to bzzz. yeah. while you're having your conversation.
Well, that's the beauty of the white barbershop. It's just
snip, snip, snip. I could deal with that. So much quieter. So much less nonsense.
Oh, no, yeah. No.
Nobody's smoking
noise.
Weed.
No hip-hop playing.
No hip-hop playing. Nobody's yes. leaving for 45 minutes to get a sandwich.
Just a nice barbershop quartet just in the background.
Some guys singing.
Yo. Yo.
Under the boardwalk. Out of the sun. Under the boardwalk. Yo, that'd be great. He should go all out.
Oh, 100%.
Just put your balls on the table. That'd be hilarious.
That's Nick Saban, dog.
You know what I would prefer to watch?
What?
With LeBron, this is what I would pitch.
Right.
Would be, and this is, I need a better name, but wine talk. Because you know how...
Oh, yeah, they're like...
They're connoisseurs of wine.
Yeah, him and Butler and Dwayne Wade. So Mello, apparently.
I would love to see these NBA guys talking about regular things, you know, talking about the same shit they would talk, but a little portion of it dedicated to this wine and, oh, this is a great varietal.
Yeah, this
grape is this. Like,
that's interesting.
That's funny.
That's interesting.
Like J.R. Smith with face tattoos talking about, I like a grape from Bordeaux.
Sommelier AVPs or something like that. Exactly. Yeah.
Bro, Sommelier AVPs is great. Yeah. People think it's just a show about East Africa. but for real, man, like, I don't know. If I'm a creative director,
that's
what I'm pitching. Yeah. What do you expose? Right, you expose wine. Maybe you even add a music component because
funny joke opportunities. Mello, could you pass the Merlot? Mello, don't pass.
This is why we should be the head of your fucking network.
I'm telling you, bro.
Yo, it's but that's what I would
listen
do.
Up, Comedy Central. Stupid ass ideas y'all
they're
throwing
out. They're going out of business. They're going out of business. So, don't you think?
Oh God, yeah.
TV's out of business. So, I think that. I mean, dude, that's a great idea, Mello. The little inside jokes. You could have wine for everybody that came in there. You get the foreign players who probably do know a lot about wine because they come from cultures. Like, what about Tony Parker? You know he's going to have some wine.
Oh,
knowledge.
Yeah.
You know, Manu Ginobili's from Argentina. Lots of great wine from
him. Yeah.
Dude, this is the show.
That's a great
this
show.
This is the fucking show, LeBron. We got to talk to Kaz. He works for LeBron now. We got to pitch it up. Fuck the shop.
Yeah.
Nobody cares about your hair. You all get the same haircut. It's a fucking Caesar. Do you know what I mean? Or a fade. There's two fucking haircuts at the barbershop. Why are we acting like it's a big deal? Odell Beckham came through and then they started bleaching the top. Three fucking haircuts. Whoop-de-doo. Yeah. It's three haircuts.
I used to say this because I'll go get my haircut at the black shop.
Yeah.
And they have that poster. They always got that one poster with like the 40 different hairstyles.
Yeah.
Point at 36 out of those 40 hairstyles and watch the barber just lose his fucking mind. Like, I don't. Can I do that with clippers? I just don't even know if we have scissors in the building. There's a Sally's Beauty Supply next door. If you give me some time, I can go buy a pair. But I don't know if I could just do that.
You gonna first have to tell me what the blue stuff is in the bottle that they put the combs. Cause I never even learned what the blue stuff in the bottle with the combs is. I don't know what Barbasol is. I thought that's shaving cream.
Oh fuck, man. When I was a kid, I used to look at that shit like, that looked delicious.
Yo, try it.
Yeah, that was the Tide Pods of our day. That was our shit.
Thanks.
Looking like Kool-Aid.
Anyway, I think we gave LeBron a great idea for a show. Someone should fucking go with it. I would love to see them all talking over wine.
Hell yeah. Wine
gets you tipsy quick. So yeah. They would get loose. You don't know.
I don't know, but that'd be dope.
So they would get loose off that shit.
Bruh.
Just do it, man.
100%. And just seeing the guy that we always say, Jimmy Butler's a man. Seeing him with his fucking capris on, just like being all knowledgeable about wine, it'd be so fucking funny.
It's comedians in cars getting coffee.
But interesting.
Basketball players on banana boats drinking Bordeaux.
That's great. You know?
That's great. The fucking show.
Yeah, that's great.
Guys, Alex.
That's a good idea.
Yo, Flagrant 2, remember you heard it here first. We know that there's people over there in Uninterrupted that listen to the show. We know that y'all be like, oh my God, these guys are fucking geniuses. Of course we're geniuses.
Pay us.
That's why we do what we do. All I'm saying is if you guys want to rock with the show, you just got to pay your boys, okay? We came through with the heat. Pay your boys. We want to see it. Everybody wants to see it. Nobody cares about the Clippers. Let's get that wine in, okay?
What a stupid-ass idea, barbershop.
Is there anything else that we got to discuss today, guys?
That shit is so bad, I expect to see it on Comedy Central. But with white people. They're probably trying to buy Nick Saban's show right now. This is hilarious. Let's put some young guys with beards in it and boots. And we'll film it in Williamsburg. That'll be original. Fucking forks.
Guys,
put it in Brooklyn.
Shots. That's right. They waited for Brooklyn to be gentrified to put things in Brooklyn.
Now that At Midnight is gone, we have no more amazing content to give you guys. You fucking losers.
Yo, I never liked that show.
That shit was trash. I used to tweet them about how bad it was.
Yo, somebody said this and it was so funny. Maybe it was you, but it was like, is it possible to mute At Midnight tweets?
Yeah, I did say that.
It was at you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. I'm pretty sure it was me. I know I used to make fun of them.
Because remember how you could mute certain people?
Yeah,
on
sure.
On Twitter?
Sure. They always decide who wins the internet. Let me tell you who wins the internet every day is Black Twitter. If Black Twitter don't have At Midnight, you're not winning.
Facts. Yeah, Black Twitter was not involved in the At Midnight.
I'm telling you. Yeah. That's what White Twitter could come up with.
Is
look how clever we are. Go suck a dick.
What was it? I don't even know. I remember watching the show. Like, why? Like, comedy is so much more important to me than this.
I mean, yeah, I just don't. I realized at a certain point they didn't fuck with me, so I could finally be open about the fact that I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And it's liberating to get on here. This is our space.
Just wax it. Poof. I just never understood the fucking show. I felt like it was such a useless, such a pointless use
I think
of
what
comedy.
I think what it is Chris Hardwick has a fan base.
Yeah.
Wanted to do the
I respect
show.
Him.
He's a beast.
I respect him a lot.
Somebody said it, not me. Somebody else said it. He's Nerd Seacrest.
Yeah.
Really?
I would say he's Nerd Rogan.
Interesting. Yeah,
because Seacrest, I don't think, has an army.
Yeah, but Rogan ain't doing fucking Talking Dead and these TV hits.
But like, Chris takes his people there.
True.
And Chris
true.
Has like an army and he has a platform where they go.
Right.
Whereas like Seacrest, he's just a professional host. So you can throw him in anywhere. But I don't know if I'm watching a show just because Seacrest is hosting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the show already got to be hot.
Yeah. Seacrest is white Terrence J.
Yo, that is the biggest compliment you've ever given Terrence J.
Yo, Terrence, get me money.
Yo, yo, Terrence would love to be Black Seacrest. For real.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I filmed the show with Terrence. They didn't bring me back for season two, but that's all good. I remember Terrence would say like,
bro.
Nah, actually, I appreciate the shot. Yeah. But I remember he used to always say like, I'm the best in the world at this when he was like doing the hosting thing. And it was just funny to see anybody being arrogant about that. You know what
about
I mean?
Hosting. Like, yeah.
I'm the best in the world at reading this teleprompter. But it's not completely easy to do. You got to be good to read a teleprompter. But it's just funny to see somebody bragging about that.
Like, why would you want to be good at that?
Like, it's like after the teacher, when you were in school, asked you to read out loud.
Yeah.
People fuck that up. But imagine you killed it, and every time you were done, you're like, best in the world at that, fam. Ain't nobody fucking with my reading out loud, fam. It's not easy.
Yo, y'all got to see me coloring the lines. Yo, give me a coloring book right now. Them lines, you're going to be so colored in, you're going to think that's how the book came.
And I know, I've read a prompter, and you had a show where you had a prompter. Yeah. It's not easy.
Yeah, I made mistakes.
You got to be good, but it was just funny to see somebody bragging about that.
Yeah. But I was never proud of reading that prompter.
You know what I mean?
Like, I was proud of like an off-the-cuff joke I would make or something like that. But it never getting through the prompter made me go, damn. I'm good at this.
And he was good at it, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it was still just like, it's just funny, man. I don't know.
You know what the skill of being a host is being coming across genuine in the most disingenuous.
Oh, word.
In the most disingenuous situation.
And he can do that.
And Seacrest is good at that too.
Yeah.
There are certain people that for whatever fucking reason.
Steve Harvey
is brilliant at it. I think Steve is the best, in my opinion, because he can do comedy and that host shit. Whereas Seacrest can't do the comedy.
You know what stand-up is? It's like squats.
Okay.
Like.
Because I'm great at those.
Oh, no.
I didn't realize what I had said.
I'm just saying. But, I'm fucking excellent at them.
You know how squats, there's no glamour. It's not going to make you look any better. There's no glamour. You're not going to be, but it helps everything.
Son, can I be honest with you, son? I caught a.
Alex is so upset already.
Alex said
he don't even want to take. He don't even want to indulge you. And I applaud him for that. Don't come around, Alex.
Yo,
you stay
Alex,
strong,
son,
dog. Stay strong.
I caught myself in the mirror profile. Son, I got cake. I got birthday cake, son. I call myself like this, and all of a sudden I started hearing. Happy birthday to you. And I was looking in the mirror. I was like, to me?
Happy birthday
to
President.
You. They said that. They didn't even say Andrew Schultz, said Mr. President, but they were like, Mr. Hesitant. And I was like, oh, you're talking about the Hezzy. Okay. Happy birthday, Mr. Hesitant. Happy birthday to you. I was like, damn, these squats making a dude thick. These squats make an asshole thick. Real talk. My shit fat, bro. My shit didn't used to be as fat as it is now, but fuck, watch out.
But the point is, yeah, squats make everything like the.
Yeah. They make that's your core stand-up. Better. They make your fucking thighs all
you
that
bench
shit.
Press more.
Yeah.
That's stand up. You're better at everything else that has to do with anything being funny.
If you can do stand up.
If you can do stand up.
Yeah. I would agree with you.
Once you work out that muscle.
1,000%. It's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah. It's so fucking hard.
Son. Before we wrap, I got to tell you, I saw this movie. We did Western Bros yesterday. I saw right. Ready Player One.
Oh, God, this motherfucking movie.
Let me tell you something. And everybody who's listening right now, the Western Bros is going to be coming out this coming up Monday. Okay?
Oh, God.
Akash, I'm being honest when I tell you this. I had zero interest in seeing this movie yesterday. Oh, my
God. Why'd you go?
People kept asking for a Western Bros. I hadn't done one in a while, and I really wanted to get together with the guys. I really enjoyed a combo, and it's fun to talk about.
Okay, and like, they wanted to see it.
And a couple of them suggested it. And I wanted to do something big enough where like people could go see. Like doing a whole series is tough. You know, we're going to do Westworld and that shit, but that's like big. You're like already invested.
Right.
So I saw this movie, and I'm being dead serious. And I'm a content snob, am I not? I don't just be liking shit.
Yeah, you do.
Stop it, son. Stop it. Hey, No.
What's that Hugh Jackman movie, Alex, identity, about the robots
son.
Fighting?
Son, I'm a
my man cried fan. At that movie.
Son.
Gay.
Hold on. That movie, Real Steel, was this shit.
I'm saying, dog. And you've got the most hood-ass taste in movies.
Son.
I remember we went to one movie one time, and we saw posters for movies that were going in, and Andrew and a 13-year-old black kid at the same time were like, yo, Shark Knight looked dope.
Yo. All right. Y'all right. So, look, but don't let that take away from the suggestion. All right, so check it. Can we be honest with other content? Like, I'll be sharing shit, especially with comedians or any of that kind of stuff, unless it's genuinely...
Okay.
Like, there are people who just share everything, think everybody's funny, think every show is good.
Yeah.
We could say that for the most part, I'm unimpressed by shit.
Right.
And if I do co-sign it, it's...
Like, loved it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Real Steel was fire. No.
Look in your eyes was real, though. Yo, that
dead
was sincerity.
Ass? Yo, dead ass, though? Dead ass? And I mean this, I'm telling you 100%. This fucking movie, Ready Player One, for the first hour and a half, my mouth was gaped open.
Because you want to suck dick?
I want to suck Spielberg's Jewish cock. It was so fucking good. It was so fucking, my mind was blown.
Oh my God.
It was blown. All I'm saying is, listen, there's a content snob, Schultzy, right here telling you, go watch this movie, then go check, listen, have a discussion with us on Western Bros. Brings up a lot of interesting things. I think you would appreciate it. I think it is a great distraction. It's not like heavy to weigh on you. It's just a great, easy distraction, enjoyable ride. But afterwards, you will think about some stuff. You're like, hey, man, we're not far off from this. I think you would really like it. Specifically you, you're interested in robots. You're interested in like VR and where we're going and that kind of stuff.
Oh, fuck.
I think you would like it. If I'm wrong, I pay for your ticket.
I don't care about the pay. It sucks because I do have an interest in that stuff. Yasser Lester, a homie of mine, had a tweet that says something along the lines of, if you took every movie white people have told me I have to see for all their very white reasons in the past 10 years and combine them into one movie, that's Ready Player One.
But I got the taste of a 13-year-old black kid. Don't you ever forget that. Don't you ever forget it.
Oh, man. How was Lena Waithe in it?
Not that good.
She's not that
good. Wait for it, though.
An actor.
Not that good as herself when she played the character, because you're in the VR world and you're in the real world. When she was in the VR world, it was great. The character was really great. But as herself, I thought she was weak.
Yeah, she's the one right now.
Is she? Well, she wrote The Shy. I think she's really talented.
People
she wrote
are,
The Shy. Yeah. She wrote...
She's on fire right now. She's the... And this is what makes me hesitant. I'm not saying she's not talented, but the industry just picks... I feel like it's a little mascotism. And I'm not saying she's not talented or whatever. I just feel like the industry is in such a hurry to seem progressive and not racist. Right. They pick a minority. They're like, everything they do is amazing.
I think that...
And so I'm not... I'm sure The Shy is fucking incredible.
Right.
I'm sure she's insanely talented.
Yep.
I just get a bit put off by the people around her elevating... You know what I mean?
So I think everybody wants to seem like they're supporting the person on the way up. so that they can cozy up.
Okay, fair enough. You know, but like, I think Hollywood is extra eager to do it when it's a minority, and she's black and gay.
Oh,
so they're like,
check off all the
look
boxes.
Look at us. Yeah,
it's perfect. Absolutely. Yeah. I think there's definitely part of that as well. I think there's part that she's just really talented
for
in
sure.
terms of writing.
Absolutely, don't want to act.
Did she write in Master of None as well?
Yeah, I think the episode that won an Emmy, she wrote.
She wrote. Okay. So like, so her pen game is nice.
Nice.
And I think Hollywood does do that mascotism thing that you're talking about. And I think they do that out of laziness. It's like, yeah. Execs are like, okay, well, laziness and convenience, right? If I hire this person that everybody thinks is the next thing,
yeah,
then my job's not on the line.
Right, right, right.
Because everybody thought it's,
yeah.
So it true. Must be good.
True.
If I take a risk on this no name right. and it bombs, whose fault is it? The risk or
right.
is it mine?
Right.
So I think it's this positive feedback loop.
Right, right.
Going on, right? Yeah. Which is, I got to choose the hot thing because I don't want to lose my job.
Right.
And when the hot thing fizzles out, well, the hot thing wasn't as hot as we all thought.
Right.
Right. And also, I want people to believe that I'm on, that I supported Cardi B from the jump.
Right, 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 right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like
everybody
wants
to be Charlamagne.
Everybody want to be Charlamagne.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody want to be up early underneath it. Mm-hmm. How can I be part of your rise? Because yeah. then when you get up there, they want to be like, hey, I was there from the beginning.
Yep.
What's up? Hey, can
yeah.
we do something?
Yeah. Fair enough.
So I think there are a lot of things. But that being said, the fucking previews before, can women write a movie that's just like they thought of? Like, are you just going to make every movie that men made about women now?
What are they doing?
Ocean's 8. Then there's yeah. this other movie with like Shailene fucking Woodley and some dude are lost on like a boat in sea. And of course the dude breaks his ribs and she got to fucking save the day. And why didn't your ribs get broken? You know what I mean? Like, dude, you watched the previews. My eyes were in the back of my head. Rolling.
Shailene Woodley
every move, Big Little Lies.
She's dope. She's Jane or whatever, right?
She's the one that got the rape.
Yeah. Man, that shit sound fun, Loki.
She got the rape.
Man, that shit sound kind of fun, Loki, like a party.
Bidi rape. Bidi bidi rape. Bidi bidi rape.
Yo. Oh, God. Yo. Flagrants.
Yeah, it was true,
we
man.
Need a drop.
Yo, we do need some sound effects up in this bitch. We're going to figure it out. Alex going to get that. Right now he's working on 15 different podcasts.
My man is working his day job.
But it's close. Alex coming close to, I think, full-time creative.
He's working on, we filmed the ABD thing. He's knocking it out of the park for us.
So I think you're close, Alex. I think it's close. I don't think it's too far off. I think next few months.
He said some ill shit to me like, I just can't sleep right now.
Like, you don't have enough time
to
sleep.
He got too much work, yeah.
Yeah, I noticed that shit. I see you sleeping. That shit is pussy, son. That shit is soft. Ain't no time for sleeping when you could be getting your butt ate dry. I got a dry buddy.
Maybe she was just nervous.
Son.
You know what I mean? You know when you're on stage and you get nervous, your mouth gets mad
get
dry?
Yeah. Why are you smoking weed before you eat my butt?
She heard the podcast.
Yo.
She knew he was going to want it already.
She definitely
you think she
podcast.
Did her research?
Yeah.
You know what's funny though is have you gotten podcast pussy?
No.
No.
Here's what
I'm
talking about. Actually, I didn't mean to put you out there like that.
Hey, you're crazy.
I didn't mean to put you out there like that. But what's funny is like my girl gets jealous, but I don't think she could be less jealous of a podcast man. Because I think we're both just like, there's no hot girls listening.
Oh, we got 90% dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I tell you what we do have. We have dudes' girlfriends that are hot. Which we respect.
I've seen that.
Hey,
yeah,
we
I've
respect.
Seen that.
Okay,
I've seen that.
Asshole army. We respect. Yeah. We respect relationships.
That's a testament to our listenership. That's
exactly.
the kind of dude that listens to this podcast.
Exactly. You put your girl on, and they appreciate too. Until we start wiling about your movies that
and
are coming out.
You're the dude that could pick up the hot girl.
Facts. Yo, I can't wait till there's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles that are all girls. Do you know what I mean? They all getting their fucking period for the first time. You got some dude delivery boy.
This is why Hollywood dying, man.
Journalists, what?
Nobody, they're not taking risks, they're not creative. I mean, YouTube is much more convenient, et cetera, but like, this is what you do. You just hop on the thing. Somebody said this about LA, one agent I talked to, but it's really all of Hollywood. It's in a big, everyone's in a big race to come in second.
Yeah.
He said, he was like,
don't want to lose your job.
He said, nobody wants to have the first broad city. They all want to have the next broad city.
People don't want to lose their job.
Yeah.
If you are the first one to put on broad city,
I feel a
certain
way
about, your fucking job.
About broad city.
I'm telling you, paying attention to Black Twitter.
Oh, absolutely.
Hollywood.
They should.
They're frightened of it.
The past 2-3 years, like everything Black Twitter gets their fingers on, Hollywood picks it up.
Yeah. Or everything that they're upset about, Hollywood refrains from doing.
Yeah.
True.
That right? Too. So yeah. If they're like, oh, why is it that there's, you know, only white fucking screenwriters that are nominated for this thing? Mm-hmm. Then the next year it's like, oh, my bad, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, absolutely. It's a powerful force.
White rural America, you got to get on black. You got to get on Twitter.
It's some fucking Wi-Fi.
Trump
yo.
Twitter.
That Trump Twitter.
We need a Trump Twitter.
That's what Roseanne was.
Yo, this bitch. 19 million people watched it. That's bigger than the NFL.
Son, it's massive.
It's bigger than Walking Dead. It's fucking huge. It's
massive. I don't know if we talked about that on. Did we talk about that on this or something like that? But it's massive. It, people just want representation, man. They really do. And you know what? I was talking to Whitney Cummings, who's the one who created the show. She EP, she showrunned it. And
really?
Said, yeah, yeah. She was a showrunner.
Wow.
Oh, she's a beast, dude. I'm telling you, Whitney's the best. So here's the thing about it.
Fuck.
Here's the thing about the show that people don't realize.
Roseanne?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
They brought it back. 18.5 million people watched it, which is fucking crazy. 3 million people on NBC will probably keep your show on the air.
Oh, without a doubt. So here's the thing that's crazy about it. And people are going, oh, it's because of Trump, and there's finally a Trump family, this, that, that. No, you know what it is?
Huh.
Poor people.
Oh.
TV forgot about poor people. And the majority of people in the country are poor.
Interesting.
And when you have every show about some bitch fucking being a writer in New York and Brooklyn and living her passion.
Yeah.
People in the middle of America, right? Not even middle America. People in upstate New York. People in western New York. Who just don't even see that as a possibility.
Right.
They don't relate to that. They're like, why is this bitch complaining? Why doesn't she just go work in a factory like the rest of us? Like, okay, so your job didn't work out. Go work in a factory. That's what I do. You know, go drive Uber or whatever. Like it just, it's so unrelatable to them. And we create these problems that are not fucking problems, right? Like, oh, I need a soy milk latte. They don't fucking drink soy. In the middle of America. You know
they're
what I mean?
Dairy farmers.
They're fucking dairy
You're
farmers.
You're killing them. They're soy
exactly.
milk.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So.
You lactose intolerant. They fucking lactose intolerant. You can't have shit in my face. Hey, listen, my son, I'm a dairy farmer. My son don't fuck with dairy.
Oh,
hey,
you
dead.
Man. You kick him into the hole like 300.
Die. Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
One kick to the chest. No, but so she was like, that's the thing. Like, we did all these studies and just people weren't representing poor people at all. And poor people just don't even understand the lifestyle that's presented on TV. Everybody on TV is living their dream. Most people aren't. And shows used to be about how marriage was tough. Shows used to be about like working class families and not having enough money to like buy stuff or go on vacations or, wasn't like one of the guys on, what's that show? I forgot. Moving On to the East Side or something like that.
Jefferson's.
Wasn't he really cheap? Or something. There was like a show I forget where one of the characters was just like a penny pinching motherfucker.
That's a pretty,
but it's a common archetype.
Family Matters. Carl was a cop.
Just regular
two story house, but they ain't rich.
Regular fucking.
Married with Children was white trash.
Trash, dude. Married with Children was white fucking trash, and people loved it.
Yeah, so funny.
And it was funny because they would poke fun at themselves.
Yeah,
but at least you felt represented. So I don't know if there's as much like resentment as there is like. I just don't get this. Like, this has nothing to do with me.
Interesting.
And I think that they would watch. I think when you watch TV, you either have to be like fascinated with the world. Like for me, I like the world of Ready Player One. It was just so different.
Right.
You know, I was like, I like existing in this world. The Wire was so different for me that I liked existing it. It was, The Wire to me could literally have been fantasy. It's no different than Game of Thrones. Like, it was I don't know what this fucking world is.
Right.
So I'm getting to, like, step into it for a little while.
Yeah.
And I'm sure to a lot of, like, you know, upper middle class or even middle class folks, that's what they saw in The Wire was a fantasy fucking world.
Yeah.
It was no different than, you know, Dungeons and Dragons or mafia movies a lot of times as well.
Yeah.
Mafia is fantasy.
Yeah.
So it's either fantasy or it's I relate a lot to this.
Yeah. Because also, Roseanne's the only Trump supporter in her family on the show,
right? It's not a pro-Trump show. A lot of times they're making fun of.
And I think the second episode was like, I accepted the idea that like, you don't have to conform to two genders or something like super Hollywood cucky.
Yeah.
But they were just happy to see poor people, I guess. It makes sense.
You see poor people and you see somebody at least saying your thing, but you either really relate as like a married person.
Yeah.
You know, or like really relate to what's going on in the show. That's just like, ah, fuck, someone's speaking my language.
Yeah.
You know? Or it's a complete distraction of fantasy.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why these people in middle America probably were watching the fantasy stuff, but not watching the relate to this upper middle class shows.
Yeah, Girls.
Girls, Master of None, like these types of
Yeah, I'm very curious to know what the actual numbers are on some of these shows Netflix
nobody
does.
Watches them. Oh, Netflix, I don't know.
Because they don't release anything.
That's right.
But that's what I remember.
They only release if you talk shit.
Yeah.
Right, they talk shit and they're real quick at the numbers. Really? 11 million.
Really?
Oh, they killed it.
Okay.
Murdered it.
Okay. But I remember when the guy said, everybody wants to have the next Broad City, not the first Broad City. I remember being like, what are their ratings? And I think it was like 400,000 people a week, 300,000 people a week watching it. And I was like, that's what we're racing to be next for?
The quote-unquote right people watch it. Everything is about everything right now is about perception.
Yeah.
Perception is reality,
yeah.
Especially with social media, right? And if you don't believe that's true, unfollow a famous person for a week and you'll see what happens. You'll think that they're no longer famous.
Hmm.
You'll be like, yo, they had a slow week. Nothing's really happening.
Right.
Perception is reality. Put it out there in front of their face. That's how you create. I mean, that's how they say that the Russians won the election, right? Like or infiltrated the election using Facebook, right? They constantly put shit in your face to make you feel a certain way.
Okay. Yeah.
Using that data, using that analytics shit to make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
Like if they're putting stories out constantly about how white Americans are being forgotten or this and that, and then you have a guy who's kind of supports these people, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like you're
yeah.
creating your, right. and they're saying they're using military grade intelligence to shift it.
Fuck.
Because we allow, you know, the government to kind of.
Yeah.
Shift our idea of the world. There's a reason we hate certain countries, even though they're the same as us. Whatever. But I don't know what the point I was getting at was. But
the perception of low numbers matters more than
so the perception is they have those shows have the bloggers.
Yeah.
They have Rolling Stone, they have New York
Times. Yeah.
All those people who are like culture curators.
Yeah.
Watch Broad City. Watch girls. So they write about those shows. And then we start thinking, oh, I guess everybody's watching these shows because they're getting written up in the New Yorker. They're getting written up in New York Times.
And I think we are. And the Trump getting elected taught me something. I'm way more out of touch than I thought I was.
With a certain
a huge percentage of America.
Facts.
Like I thought I understood America. Yep. I understand New York City, LA, young people.
Yep.
I understand Indians. I don't understand so much of Middle America. Even if he didn't win the popular
vote. You're from it.
I'm from
Isn't
Texas,
that crazy?
Dog. I talked to Texans. I thought, oh, that's a smaller percentage. Most of the people are like New York. Nah, 59 million people. Even if he lost a popular vote, 59 million people listened to this dude saying that stuff. And like, yo, yes. I don't get it. I don't think Hollywood gets how much they don't get it. Trump opened my eyes. He'd be like, oh, fuck.
Oh, they don't get it all. And I think I've told you about this. I mentioned on Brilliant Idiots. But like the fact that Hollywood doesn't understand why Middle America resents them.
Oh, yeah.
I told you this point, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was on the podcast, but I went on Brilliant Idiots as well. But the idea is like you just took everything that they loved away from them. Like they liked their truck and all of a sudden trucks are bad for the environment.
Right.
They like being a cowboy. You made cowboys gay. They like, I don't know, other shit, corn. I don't know. You
dairy.
Know what I mean? Or they like dairy. Or yeah, they like dairy and it's bad. You know, it's like they like, hey,
they like
should,
meat.
They like eating meat. Now every documentary is how meat is killing you and it's mean to the animals and this shit. Yeah. And if you farm cows, you're a
you
bad
look
person.
Down
cow.
On
their whole life.
Everything they do.
And you're wondering that they fucking resent you.
I remember seeing t-shirts that were like the map of the United States of America and it was just LA, it was California was a state, New York was a state, and then everything else was just like nothing. Like it didn't count.
Yeah.
And I was like, you don't think these people see these shirts and fucking hate your guts? And if they could beat the shit out of us, you take away the black dudes wearing Tim's in New York, no one in this city can fight.
You had that great point. I think it was you. Was it your bit about-
If there was another Southern war, or civil war, and you take away stakes and slavery, whatever, well, let's just fight.
Yeah.
The South would kick the dog shit out of the North.
Yeah, because we don't even have guns.
They got all the guns.
They got the guns.
These motherfuckers are farm strong, ready to fight. Don't give a fuck. Yo,
they got
you can
malicious.
Have your Tims. You can
they
have
got
your
no
Tims.
Militias.
They will beat your ass barefoot, dog.
Bro. We got a bunch of dudes in Brooklyn who shoot with the gun sideways.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
You're
going to
miss. You're going to miss.
Motherfuckers are ready.
Yeah. They've been practicing. They've been going to the gun
range.
And
you took away all their TV programming, so they just been outside working. So
we locked up all our good murderers. We locked up all our good shooters. GS9 all locked up. Where's Bobby Shmurda when you need him? You know what I mean?
Think my homie Casey Aurora said this. He's another ABDC comic. When he's helping me with this joke, he was like, in the South, they invest in gun collections. In New York, they invest in shoe collections to run. When that fight comes, that's all they're using their collection for.
But we're not going to crease.
Oh, no, hell no.
We're not going to crease the sneakers.
No. You're going to walk.
We're going to walk in. We're going to do that penguin waddle. That's how we're going to walk out.
I need my shoe shield.
Yeah. Anyway, look, so everybody in the South, we appreciate you and we love you and don't invade us.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean, don't get it twisted. We whooped that ass.
Nah, I didn't really.
Nah, we whoop that ass until a real fight comes, and then we're gonna talk about some Namaste shit. You know what I mean? That's peace, love, and happiness. That's been another episode of Flagrant 2. Yo, you got some shit to plug?
Nah, I'm good.
Nothing.
Nothing this week.
Well, you do. You're gonna come out to one of the shows.
I'm performing Friday.
Yeah.
Friday late night, 10:30 show. 10:30 show. 10 o'clock.
It's 10,
show. 10 o'clock show. And then Saturday, I'm gonna come through. See, say what's up. Our other homie Case Rosso is on the show, so come check that out.
That's right. So yeah, man. Alex is gonna roll with me, man. Alex is gonna roll with me up to Toronto as well. We're gonna do a documentary of the whole shit.
And maybe Europe too. Yeah, you should really get him out there to film Burning Man.
Well, actually, he's gonna come to Burning Man. He got the tickets.
Oh fuck.
Yeah, so he's gonna come, but he's gonna go.
Nah, Alex gonna partake out there.
I want you to like have that moment. Like every time I bring people to Burning Man or like suggest to Burning Man, it's because like I feel like you'd appreciate this moment.
Okay.
Like, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel like you're ready for it. Some people not ready, but you are ready, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Did we tell the story about you in LA when you were saying you want to go to the FBI? Did we tell that story?
Oh, yeah. You're not going to FBI.
I don't think that's happening.
Can we tell that story?
Yeah, whatever.
So they're all smoking weed in the car. It's Andrew and Kaz. I don't know if we should say this. It's illegal out there.
The infamous Ralph story.
Yeah, and when Andrew said, what if dogs are all calling their friend Ralph?
What if they're not barking, they're just calling their friend Ralph?
Yeah. So before that, beginning of the night.
Still hits.
Kaz takes a puff. It's not as much as you think. Kaz takes a puff. Andrew takes a puff. They pass it to Alex. Alex is like, nah, man, I can't. I want to be in the FBI. I can't have smoked weed for X number of years. What was it, 3 years?
2 years.
2 years. And we're like, all right, man, that's straight. And then they start passing it back and forth. And then immediately after one more cycle of Kaz, Andrew, Alex is like, yo, give me the weed. That fast, dream career out the window. 10 seconds, two puffs. Yo, fuck it, man. Whatever. FBI, schmeck.
That's why I've been going hard with this camera shit.
That's why you're not sleeping, bro. Yo, I said, don't worry, bro. It's out of your system in a month. And he hits it. He goes, nah, they make you take a lie detector.
I went to our boy's apartment to get something I left upstairs, and I heard Alex say no to the weed because of the FBI thing. Then I come back down, he's just holding, and I was like, what the fuck happened in the last 30 seconds?
The angel on his shoulder left. He just had two devils. That was all it took.
Oh, fuck.
Anyway, we're going to have a good time, man. Yo, assholes, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for supporting our shows and just everything. We appreciate the fuck out of you, man. We got an army going, and the army is going strong, and it's growing, man. I'm seeing these YouTube videos pop up. Alex, you been noticing that?
Yeah.
Our shit straight doubled, man. We used to do like 10K. Now it's just pumping up to like 20K.
Yep.
So I'm looking for that growing. The SoundCloud's growing. So I see that you're talking to your friends about it, spreading the word. That's the best place to do it, man. I think we're around like 70, 75K in app. I want to get to 100.
Let's get to 100.
So spread this fucking word. Let's get it to 100. Let's get Kaz back in the studio. Let's make
it
happen.
When we get to 100, people will pay us and we don't have to change nothing.
Yeah, exactly. We're not going to change shit. So, I love you guys, man. Thank you so much.
Get that Flagrant 2 merch.
Oh, yo, get that Flagrant 2 merch. That's right. Flagrant2merch.com. Shouts to Hi You. Thank you guys so much. Be good. Peace.